Hi, everybody. How we doing? Good, good. Yeah, it's fine. Dave just wanders off set. That's fine.
No, it's not one. Damn.
What are you looking for?
I'm just going to shut it off.
An Android?
No, I have an iPhone.
Oh, an iPhone. We got one over here. Here we go. I really do believe. Is that one?
This is it. Oh, thank you.
Listen, yeah, sometimes I fuck up. Did you fuck up last night? You didn't plug it in?
Correct.
That's one of those things you got to do now before you go to bed. It used to be so easy. You took your alarm clock, you went, let me set it so I'll be at the office tomorrow. I have to set the alarm to punch my wife and then go to the office. And then you do that. Now it's like I got to charge 20 fucking things.
Yep.
I got to turn this off. I got to turn this on. It's a pain in the ass even to go to bed. And then I'm grabbing four remotes on my night table to work shit. I don't even know what it does. Oh, it's a pain in the ass living in 2019.
It is.
Yeah.
Very convenient all at once.
Pretty convenient. Yeah. A little scary, a little, you know, privacy invading. But Dave Landau.
Hi, everyone.
Everyone. And his iPhone.
And my iPhone.
His iPhone.
Which is over a year old, so it's having trouble keeping any charge whatsoever.
A year old.
That's 9 seconds.
My goodness. I recall the days, kids. Anthony's going to do a little, I recall. I do that a lot. I'm just like the old guy that waxes fantastic about the old days now. I remember when there was a time when I was a real little kid. That there were dinosaurs. There were a time when I was a real little kid where when you moved from your home to another home, and we did that a lot if you read my book, Permanently Suspended, you'd move into your house, and there were things that were just there, especially if you rent.
Mm-hmm.
The stove was there. A refrigerator was there.
Yep.
And a phone was there. A phone.
Yep.
It was hardwired into the wall. That was it. It was a Bell telephone. That was the thing. It made the same ring noise as everyone else's phone, and that was that. Then they got modular phones. These were phones you could buy at the store and click on the wall or
yes.
plug them in, and people loved having extensions in their bedroom.
Like a Sports Illustrated football phone?
A football phone.
Yeah.
Cheap phones.
They were shitty phones.
Those Bell telephones were great. You could beat the shit out of an intruder with a Bell telephone.
Yeah.
And still take a call and then call the cops with it.
Call that a spouse learner.
Yeah, yeah. Bang! And it would make a cool ding noise from the bell like the round was over. Yeah. And so you were able to buy that phone, and then you would move and take your phones with you, your extension. You know,
right.
You'd take it with you. And that was pretty much it. We had the same phone, I remember, for decades. Decades. Same phone. And now you're like, oh, it's a year old.
Yeah, I know. And they're fucking, and it won't keep a charge, though.
They do that on purpose.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the more you download their little, you got to download this thingy things.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. But it takes away your battery. Your software updates, we'll call them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine years ago if those phones that you took with you or the phones that came with the place you moved into, like after a year, you'd hold it up to your ear and it would take like 10 minutes to get a dial tone before you could make the call. And you'd be like, ah, or if you had to do something with it every night or it wouldn't work the next day.
Awful.
I have to buy a new phone. No one ever said that. No one ever said, I have to buy a new phone. No. You wanted to. Maybe you wanted the Mickey Mouse phone. Maybe you wanted the princess phone.
I remember we got the cordless, and I felt rich.
It was the cordless
phone. Ones that sat right on top to charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Walk around with it for a little bit.
The cordless phone was great, and it saved a lot of those curly Q cords because the kitchen phone was the only phone you had. It's in the kitchen, which is usually off the dining room. The living room, things like that. So there was really nowhere to go to speak in private. So you would take that cord and fucking stretch it into the bathroom and shut the door on the cord. You'd have this much cord by the door And you'd have to carry on your private conversation that way, as the thing was just stretched to the limit. And then you'd put it back on the wall, and it was like an 80-year-old man's balls.
Yeah, it just sags.
Just laying on the floor.
You sometimes had to buy the new phone cord.
The phone cord. But you'd have to buy
phone,
a new one.
But
you right.
replace the cord.
I bought a new cord. Don't stretch it out.
It's
like,
not
you
an
cunt.
Anus.
Like you cunt, ma.
Huh? You big, saggy, flappy cunt that dad don't want to fuck no more?
Yeah.
It's what he tells us when he takes us putt-putting.
Why don't we buy a new one of those?
Yeah, you big, gross cunt. He ain't coming home, never.
Yeah, that was, you know, it was, that was it. We had that commonality of just, you know, you went home and that was the only place, unless you were at a friend's house or work, where you made and received phone calls.
Caller ID still blows my mind, because I remember the day I found out those existed were from prank phone calls.
Yeah.
My friend, we were drunk one night, and he called this really hot girl that lived two doors down.
Oh, that's a ballsy move, prank calling two doors down.
Yeah, but we didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, it was, and this was not the time of Me Too.
Right.
So, you know, he called her, you know, it was like top heavy, I want to floss with your pubes.
Oh, nice.
I want to shit on your tits.
Awesome.
You know, stuff like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Good, solid 2 minute message. Well, the dad had this new fandangled thing called caller ID.
Oh, science.
Called my house. They're like, it's your friend. It's this dude, Jay. We know him, you know. So he had to go over there with his mother and sit in front of her and her whole family while they had just the answering machine on the table and played back.
Oh, fuck. What wizardry do you have here?
He just had to stand there with his mom while I was like, I'll shit on your tits. I want to eat your ass.
Oh,
I want to floss with
what
your
magic has implicated me in these crimes? What are these infernal machines?
That did it sucked. And then you learned Star 6-9, but then that didn't work.
And that didn't work. And
I called my teacher, who was a pilot.
Oh,
and he flew planes. His name was Mr. Harold.
I didn't think it was Pontius.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a pilot.
Pontius.
Pontius. You might have heard about him.
Crucified,
might have read about
our Lord.
Him in the Bible. Yeah. He had our Lord beaten. Oh, a plane pilot.
Yes. And this guy didn't like me because freshman year I made a whole book of him and his son Billy, and it'd be like him fucking his kid or him giving him money while he danced on a table. And then I stapled it all together and left it on his fucking desk as a book. So he fucking hated my guts, right? So one night I called. I was like, I just want to go up in your airplane. And he's like, okay. I'm like, how do you teach me how to fly? And I really had him. And then I was
like,
when we get up there, would you kiss me? And he's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, once we get up in the sky, maybe we could kiss because it's not gay because we're not on land anymore.
It's like a maritime law or something up there.
Yeah. I was like, you take off your scarf and goggles, I take off my scarf and goggles.
Goggles.
And kiss in the sky. And now finally got all pissed off and hung up. Well, apparently it just said the call is coming from Star 6-9, my friend Amy's number.
Oh.
So he called right back.
Yeah.
And that was not good.
And he should have called back and went, yeah, we'll kiss, and then what?
Yeah.
Hamna, hamna, hamna.
He's like, is this a prank? I'm like, let me suck your dick. And then finally he just hung up the phone.
God damn. Yeah, phones were like, they were fun. I mean, they're fun now. You got porno on them.
Yeah.
But they were fun, like, when your parents were out.
Yeah.
That was what you did. Like, if your parents are like, okay, we're going out, we're old enough to stay home without a babysitter, it all revolved around the phone.
Yes.
Like, we're all right, but what do you say, prank calls? Yeah, prank calls.
Yep.
And you'd just start making them.
All night long. That was always the best.
Yeah. And then some dumb friend would be like, you ever prank call the operator? Get the fuck out of here. You don't rob a precinct.
Exactly.
You fucking don't prank call the operator. You prank call the operator, and then you hang up, and you pick your phone up, and it was just silent. Like, they would unplug your phone, and you would just sit there going, yeah. Oh, I think we fucked up. Like, eventually, they'd plug you back in, but they would cut your phone service off for a while. All right.
And it would just
you. Number, please.
It was like the fucking, what was it, 555-1212?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you would just call and ask for, like, I need a number for Harold Pussy.
That was information.
Yeah. They were just...
information before 1-1, yo, after a while.
Well, yeah, eventually. 4-1-1. We can't memorize that much anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
In smarter days, we could do whole numbers.
We memorized all our phone numbers, all our friends' phone numbers, family's phone numbers. They were all just in your head.
Are they still there from when you were a kid? Because mine are. Yeah, those are new numbers. I don't know one person's number now.
I was in Central Islip when I was probably 8 years old, around there. I remember my phone number from when I was 8 years old. Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that? It's just residing in some brain cell.
Yep.
Like, just hanging out, pacing in a room back and forth, like, you might need me someday.
Yeah.
I've been called up for a password. He's using me for a password. I'm out. but you ever remember something for the first time from decades ago? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah. That shit was sitting there as a little electrical charge in your brain, just going, what am I?
Yeah.
Am I going to get called up to the big leagues again?
Yeah.
Or am I just going to sit here? And there's probably shit that'll never be called, but just sits there. I'm here. I'm here if you need me, boss. Yeah.
Like, it just popped up how my friend Justin prank called the neighbor about shitting on her tits.
See? Shitting on her tits.
I didn't know that would ever come up again.
He's never going to use me. Why would he possibly use me?
I don't need to stay here.
What, is he going to get a gig on some radio show where they talk about inane, disgusting shit like this?
What kind of low-rent broadcast would allow this kind of thing?
I'm a prisoner in this sinner. I'm doing my mime impression. You got to flick the wrist.
There's a memory trying to get out, but he's stuck.
Only mime. Do that, but I've never flicked my wrist when I touch glass. I just kind of touch it, but you gotta go.
I hate mimes. What a
mimes stink. No one likes them.
No, nobody wants to see
a faggy French thing that they started. Oh, I am in the books. Of course, you are. The Germans put you in there. You need us to get you out, don't you? You fucking fag mime.
I'm crawling on a rope. No, it's a big surrendering cock.
Oh, look. It is a tug of war. Oh, why isn't your impression of anything war this? You want to buy a French World War II army rifle? Never been fired, only dropped once.
Is there anything worse that you could become to your parents? Like, what do you think's worse? Like, Casey Anthony or telling your parents you're a mime?
Or a mime. Or both.
That'd be the worst. Yeah, this is me duct taping a head.
Oh.
Driving to the woods.
And then she puts away, and then this. Because, you know, she wanted to go out and suck some cock. And then I'm miming Casey. That would be good. Maybe criminal mimes.
Criminal
mimes.
You know, great would that show be?
You just, like, do Ted Bundy, but it's all mime.
Or it's like Joe Montana as a fucking mime.
Criminal mimes. What a friend. We're giving people fucking ideas for TV shows.
Yes, no real evidence. It's just all pretend.
He mimes everything. It's all pretend.
Yeah.
What is he? Are you saying there was a rope? No. It's just a mime thing
when
do.
When he's questioning people, he's like,
yeah.
What? Did I kill someone? Criminal mimes.
Criminal mimes.
Ever get solved?
Oh, that would be on Mad TV with their puns.
Wouldn't it?
In the next episode of Criminal Mimes.
Oh, yeah, don't ever say you don't like that show. Holy fuck.
You caught some shit?
My God. Look, I'm not saying that some of the sketches weren't hilarious, but Jesus.
Overall.
Eh.
Eh.
I love the magazine growing up, and I love Cracked, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mad was one of my personal favorites as a kid.
Yeah.
Penthouse was my favorite.
I love the cartoons and Playboy are still.
I remember seeing my first Playboy mag, and see that's popping out of my synapse over there. Yeah, I remember seeing my first one, and I liked the girls' asses better than the front. Like the front, and it was the pussy, big hairy pussy, and big tits and everything. But I'm like, no, where are the heinies?
Yeah,
I want to see the girls' heiny.
I remember the comics in there where it would be like a woman who's split in half and they're arresting Superman who's like, she said I was faster than a speeding bullet.
Yeah.
Shit like that. It was just little gross drawings.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Playboy.
The drawings were fun. When I was a kid in kindergarten, there was a girl down the street and we used to show each other our heinies.
Yes.
In kindergarten. She was in my kindergarten class. She lived around the corner, and I would go and...
Better than just a kindergarten class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was last week. It was a girl in the kindergarten. We show each other our heinies. So we'd go into her backyard shed. It was one of those, you know, aluminum metal sheds.
Yeah.
Standard back in the Wonder Years days.
Many kids were hurt in.
Many kids fucking cut in half. It was like, let's put up this shed made of giant razor blades.
Yeah, and then we'll have you go test your cup in it with the new coach.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, many people were hurt in that.
So me and her would, we'd pull our pants down, and she would stand there, and we would just kind of look over each other's shoulder. It's kind of like a kid version of the rom-com movie poster. I'd be like, look at that hiney, and she's like, look at his hiney. Look at your hiney. She was a little blonde girl with kind of a... weird little pixie cut thing.
Yeah, my friend was Angela, where we would show our parts, and she lived next door, and she just moved the other day.
Next whore.
Yeah.
That's what I call. You're my next whore neighbor.
Yeah. I live next door to me in Harlem. We just come out and flash each other.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, we were little kids, and it was like my best friend's little sister, like a year younger, you know? We were like best friends. And then, yeah, I just remember us being like, all right, you got to show me yours, and I'll show you mine. And I just remember, like, why do you have, like, a miniature butt in the front? Like, that's
what is that?
It was to me. I was like, do you
take tiny little shits out of that?
That's what I thought. I was like, do you take little pellet shits out of it? And she's like, no, I pee out of it.
What?
I'd show her my dick.
I pee out of this.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Crazy. And we didn't know why.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
No, it's just there's.
You don't know if it's going to fall off.
Yep.
And become that, so you're petrified.
True.
Yeah, I used to think you had to wear a rubber to get a girl pregnant, and you had to fuck her in the ass with a rubber on.
Yeah.
Because the stuff on the rubber was the stuff that made her pregnant.
Yeah, I remember the first. Dude, you're so dumb when you're young.
You just ridiculous.
My mom told me they went to a doctor and they took a seed out of our dad to put in my mom's belly, and that's how they would grow.
Why would they?
And I was like, why would you? Where do you keep your seeds?
Yeah, where
like,
is all that?
I don't know. Ask your mom. I'm not going to fucking get into this with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to fucking have this conversation.
Then once you figure out what sex is, or you see it in a movie, you don't get it.
Yeah, it's just the oddest thing.
I saw two girls sucking a dick because my friend's older brother, who was a teenager, was like, hey, come up here. I'm like 6 or 7. And I swear to God, I thought it was an ice cream cone.
Oh, my goodness.
I had never seen a big...
And he goes, you want some ice cream, kid?
And but it didn't look right.
It's a push-up.
Because they were licking it for a while and it wasn't melting. And then I realized...
Until the end, when it melted from the inside.
It did have a filling. And I went home and had to ask my mom. And then she told me what it was. She had to.
Oh, my God. What an awkward thing.
Yeah. I was like 7, I think.
He never told us anything about that. My mom and dad, never said a word about it.
Nothing, even in the, teen years?
Not a peep. I knew everything at that point anyway. But, I had some questions and stuff as a kid. But, never.
Never?
Nah. Shut up.
My mom
don't need to know that. Shut up. I don't know. That's what I'd get.
Oh, my mom would be like, the water bill's high, boys. Shower and get out. Like to me and my brother.
Oh, that was kind of a stop jacking it in the shower.
She did actually say to me, stop masturbating into your socks. Use a Kleenex in front of my girlfriend.
Oof.
I was 15. She's in a bad
mood.
She was bipolar.
Your mom should have helped you out and gone, what are you doing? Why don't you help him out so he isn't jerking off of the socks, you prude?
But he jerks off all over your tits. What's he with
you? Yeah.
Huh?
Wouldn't you rather do that than the sock? Yeah, he'd rather do that than the sock.
Right, you're already giving him bad hand jobs that don't make him come. Just go all the way.
Help him out.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Well, who knows? Who knows how that conversation started, but welcome to the program.
I don't know either.
It doesn't ever matter.
Sex ed.
It's a thing. There's a couple of clips I want to play that just have been making me laugh. The Bill Clinton one is sad, right? Isn't the Bill Clinton clip just sad? Like, the Clintons, they're despicable. I understand that. But even when you see like a Nazi that they catch at 99 years old,
yeah,
and you know he was just the worst thing and worst person ever, but they're kind of like, you're like, ah, like I understand he's a piece of shit, but he's in that frame now that's just pathetic.
It's even when they arrested Whitey Bulger, I was like, what do you care?
A scumbag, lump of shit, murdering motherfucker. But you look at him and go, ah, he's trapped in that fucking body now, so who gives a shit?
He's stuck in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
In an apartment.
In an old body.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not doing anything. He's not having fun.
Yeah.
So Clinton is like, he's saddled with fucking that, oh, that horrible woman, Hillary Rodham, he gives speeches. He goes around, and he's the former president, so he gives his speeches and just wants to blurt out some shit and get some applause and have pretty girls look at him, and he could look back and wink. And he loves that shit. And then some guy has to call him a rapist during one of the speeches, and he's just flustered. Like,
nobody
look at him.
Can dispute the fact that we need...
All right, hold on. Rewind that. First of all, the timing is impeccable.
The heckle is perfect.
It's a great heckle. You just can't dispute the fact...
You're a rapist.
You're a rapist. Yeah, yeah, you're a rapist.
Nobody can dispute the fact that we need... Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah.
And then he just goes... Oh, yeah. It's so sad.
I mean, I did. Look how right now he's turned into the rapist.
Yeah.
See the eyes? That's Bad Bill.
I can't dispute them. You're a rapist. And then he goes, what? I mean, oh, yeah. I ought to.
As you know, there's lots of proof.
He's not
some
slick. He's not Slick Willie anymore, where he could be like, I will say this one more time.
Yeah.
I did not have said, you really? I am not a rapist.
He's old man dirty dick.
Yeah, let's see it one more time because his response is so sad.
Nobody can dispute the fact
that you're a rapist.
That we need. That we need. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was there, I'd just be like. Just on the timing of it.
I love the rest of the crowd. Oh! Oh! Yeah. Oh! They lost their fucking, they can't imagine. They're clutching their pearls.
The only thing that would make that video better is if it then cut to you in the crowd.
Yeah. How you doing?
Evening.
Oh, my God. You're a raven. Oh, yeah.
Both just standing there like this.
Yeah. Wasn't that in a sitcom somewhere where people was it Seinfeld? Where it's like someone says something to you and you want to say something back and then you just go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
That's all he did.
What was that?
Ralph Crandon when he was trying to lose good points and bad points.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ralph Crandon.
You lose your temper. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, because he has two choices. One is to take it, and the other one is to acknowledge that he might be a rapist.
Right.
So he's trying to figure out in his head which one he's got to
do. So he had a, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well.
He had a, oh, yeah, everybody.
Maybe.
That is so fucking funny. And then Roseanne. There's a clip of Roseanne that's making the rounds today. She has something to say about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I hate that I have to say her three names. It's like, just call her, why the Ocasio? Why are we entertaining this hyphen bullshit with her? She's not married.
Yeah, that's true.
She's Alexandria fucking Orazio. Just call her Alex Cortez.
I saw a great meme.
Nice fucking left-hander out of the Dominican Republic.
I saw a great meme. It was her in an interview, and they were saying, what's your opinion on Roe versus Wade? And she said, both are great ways to cross a river.
I love those memes. And they just have it like...
And she just looks completely
She looks nuts. Yeah. Her memes are fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, she has to see those and think, maybe I should close my eyes a little more just to not look bad shit.
I don't look like a stark raving lunatic. And here's, wow, Roseanne, holy shit.
Mm.
That Green New Deal that
That Farrakhan loving bitch, well, I don't even remember her name. The bug eyed bitch that looks like a realtor. She got them realtor eyes.
Realtor eyes.
By realtor eyes. She got them. So bug eyed lying bitch. Farrakhan fan. Israel hater. Lefty. Dumbass. Dumbasses. Dumb as they get. So I'm going to try to correct some of the mistakes she's made, like costing hundreds of people decent paying jobs because, I don't know, they breathe carbon in their air or some horse shit. She got paid to do that.
That's the ladder in the back. Where's Roseanne?
Paid to decimate communities.
Sometimes they put her cookies on top of the fridge.
That's what the Dems have been doing. That's what socialism.
It's like she's backstage at Raw.
Yeah, ready to go out there, and AOC is out there. Oh my God, AOC just came out.
Folding chair and barbed wire.
Yeah, just smacks her. You bug-eyed bitch.
Age match.
Does. And I just got to say it. Socialism is a fake fucking con. It's just like capitalism, but it comes from the bottom up, not the top down. It's a fucking Ponzi scheme and a con game. You know, here's why they want them immigrants. First of all, because all their buddies are hiring them for less than minimum wage. That's a big draw.
Yeah.
And second, because no Americans are going to vote for their ass anymore because we woke up to the shit you're doing. You see, you're decimating whole communities in inner cities while you live up there in a vineyard and a mansion. Okay, that's what socialism gets us. Well, we don't want none of that shit. Okay? We don't want what you did in Venezuela. And don't say, but the U.S. is the reason. Yeah, okay. But this is not.
Oh, and then it ends very abruptly. She's like, oh, I didn't realize it was on. And I'm saying this crazy shit.
I kind of like her now.
Oh, she's awesome.
And I should hate her, but I'm kind of now blaming NBC for that. I think they did it.
They did it.
And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She, you always felt she had you thrown off.
But I feel like NBC was worried about me, and then they set that up.
Right, right.
Because now, obviously, they've thrown her off.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was ABC, but what's the difference?
It's fucking... But
yeah, it's...
It's bizarre.
I kind of like
now off television though. Even her reruns are off, and Cosby is still on TV. Like I go around the channel guide and I see the Cosby show, and I'm like, but they took off Roseanne for her tweets, yet Cosby raped women while they were unconscious.
What?
Because he drugged them. Yeah, what? When did this happen? Why wasn't I told? And she's off television, but there you are. Cosby is still on. And
why would you piss off someone that crazy and right wing too?
Yeah, yeah.
Like she doesn't give a fuck now.
She is completely free to say whatever the fuck she wants.
And it's
not, right too.
It's not like the Louis thing. There's no assault allegations. Like all we did was misread a tweet.
She tweeted something she thought was a funny thing to put together. The Planet of the Apes. She looks like she's what'd she say? She looks like she's a mix of Planet of the Apes and
ISIS or something.
ISIS.
Was it ISIS?
Like yeah. All right. Whatever. But I mean, to fucking then exile her from everything. And Cosby, you know, is still, you could watch a fucking convicted, imprisoned rapist
yes.
on television going, boo doo 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 boo doo 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 with his
dancing with
dance.
Raven Simone.
Yeah, dancing with Lil Raven Simone.
Yeah. I put something in your drink.
Yeah. Raven, finish your little sippy cup full of beverage.
I won't do the impression.
Oh no. Why don't you do the impression while you bash Mad TV?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Now that would be a
fun. See, that's the kind of impression that would go on Mad TV. My shitty impression.
Oh,
when
shit.
I go, they shot my son in the face and he was dead and now he haunts my dreams and that's where he says he's bleeding out of his face and he rapes and I rape and my son is dead, you see. See, it's fun because he wouldn't happily say his kid's dead.
Of course he wouldn't.
See?
Therein lies the joke.
That's what it is. And the more you drag it on, it's funnier. Sorry, I just had to acknowledge that today.
Yeah.
You brought it up.
And as well you should acknowledge.
I prank called my wife at work with that. I'm going to rape you.
You're going to rape you. She does not accept drinks from me that are unsealed.
Yes.
I never trust anybody like that. Like, I've had fans of the show in bars and stuff. I'm hanging out, and they're like, Anthony, here you go. I'm like, hey, thanks. Fuck, I'm not drinking that. You fucking drug me. Get out of here. Have sex with me?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're given.
You never know.
You never know.
I'm glad I don't go to bars, but yeah, they put the napkin sealed now
beer
over the drink.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, not a deterrent, ladies.
No, no.
I can put that back just
wow
what I need.
How are we going to get through that?
Yeah.
It's a damp napkin.
Well, what'll I do? I can't remove it, drug you, and put it back on.
Right.
Way to go.
Can't do that.
I wonder how much that's cut down rapes. 0%?
Yeah, they're putting like plastic lids too. They have like some bars with plastic lids. The trick is you get behind the bar early and rub drugs on the inside of the plastic lid.
That's true. Then,
or the straws, whatever.
A locked chain on a door is more of a deterrent to a rapist than a napkin.
Than a napkin?
And you can get through that. All you need is a hard kick and a lot of motivation.
Yeah. That's your fucking... That's your protection against a roofie?
Yeah, no good.
There's
no
a fucking napkin. Oh, my God.
No good. But yeah, good for her. And it's amazing with everything going on right now that I see online. People are saying with this Just Cow dude.
Yeah.
You know, but they're saying, like, why did he pay him? Why did he just get people with MAGA hats to do that? They would have done it for free, like all these levels of it.
They wouldn't.
This is the problem, is we're exposing it to be bullshit and the media pushing a shitty agenda.
Yeah.
And they just can't handle it.
They double down on it. They try to make an excuse for it. My favorite was when it really started breaking that he did this himself. Some guys on CNN... We're actually saying, well, some people in the media jumped the gun in the and then they said in the entertainment media. And it's like, what does that even mean? You're all the entertainment media. CNN jumped the gun and fucking said, you can't now separate yourself from the media that did jump the gun and you.
Yeah, what, John Tesh jumped the gun?
Yeah, the celebrity media.
Mario Lopez was way out of line.
Right, did you see him on the red carpet introducing toenail fungus? And the next guest is, oh no, toenail fungus.
What are we going to do? He's got a lynch.
Noose. He's got a noose around his toenail. Yeah. And they cut it and they cover it.
He's holding a Subway sandwich.
It's being reported toenail fungus perpetrated this onto himself.
Hey, I'm here on the red carpet where our next arrival is. Whoa, toenail fungus.
All right, cut. Mario, come here. I want you to imagine that toenail fungus is just the biggest star.
Yes.
That you're not expecting to show up. So when you deliver the line toenail fungus, be like, toenail fungus. And he's just a scourge. Do it again. Come on. I know you can do this.
I want you to shame the woman who has it as well.
Yes.
I want you to make her feel terrible about it.
Toenail fungus.
Oh, this bitch's feet are rotten.
And why is toenail fungus dressed up like Paul Williams, the singer?
I should say he looks like the Joker or the Penguin.
Let's see. I want to see toenail fungus again. Let me see toenail fungus. It looks like Paul Williams.
On the red carpet where our next arrival is. Whoa, toenail fungus.
Fight it.
Look at him. Just an old-fashioned love song playing on the radio.
I'm going to do gay magic or produce The Godfather.
It's fucking Paul Williams.
What was that guy's name who produced The Godfather? The kid stays in the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just a monster of a human being. Like, I was eating Diane Keaton's ass in a hot tub when I came up with the idea to Love Story. Robert Evans. Yeah, Robert Evans. Yeah. That guy, he had a show on Comedy Central with Slash where they were both cartoons. I'm not kidding.
Why would that even be a thing?
I watched just because I couldn't believe it existed.
It was a really bad animated show, but it was just, like, we laugh at it now, but back then, these were horrific stories that he said, well, everybody just did this, you know?
Yeah.
This is how she got in The Godfather.
Oh.
Yeah, his whole book, The Kid Stays in the Picture, is like, I fucked all these people and made them stars.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Is this stories from the tour bus, or what's this called? This cartoon?
Kid
this
Notorious.
Was the, oh, Kid Notorious.
With him and Slash. Rock. And his super black butler that's racist as fuck.
These people are hella rude, and every damn one of them stink to high heaven. Put some right guard on, you stanky-ass fool. Just a bunch of pasty winos walking around in them nasty Speedos.
What about your op?
Ain't nothing going on down there. Like he's sporting a Q-tip and two razors.
Okay.
So bad.
I have no idea what that is. I've never seen it.
The audiobook of The Kid Stays in the Picture, though, is great.
That's good.
It's like listening to a demon tell his story. The man has no soul.
Really? Okay.
Great. Yeah.
I'm not very familiar with...
And even when he's trying to be sincere, it's so smug. You're like, this guy, yeah, he's not a human being.
Yeah.
He's just an awful person.
It's like, love story didn't just get released. It exploded. Like Jessica Tandy's cunt all over my lap in 1951. Yeah, that's him. Like
looks
that's
like one of those pieces of shit.
Right now, he's just eating someone's ass by his pool.
Lucky guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He's worth listening to, just because it's funny.
I'll give me, give him a listen. This is Andrew from Indiana. He's got a video. Again, I remember him.
Yeah, Morris from Florida. This chick went absolutely batshit leaving Orlando for Vegas. And I also want to know how fucking hot you think she is, because I know that's going to be the first thing you notice. So just enjoy.
Thank you. We'll check out the video, and thank you for suggesting it.
I'm not getting on this plate. I'm even bachelor's. Oh, you want to fucking tape me, make this viral, bitches?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. That's my mom. My mom will be so upset. She really saw that. I didn't do anything. What did I do? What did I do?
Oh.
What did I do? Yo, someone make this viral. You want me to make this viral? Make it viral. What the fuck did I do?
Oh, yeah, she's a little,
Called someone old because they were? All right, I'll get my bag. I'll take my fucking shit.
Where's she going? The terrible nose convention? Hey!
My mom's going to be so proud of me tomorrow. I don't give a fuck.
Hi. Are you Ben?
I didn't do anything.
Just watching a girl
lose
her shit on a plane.
Those are my favorite part of videos.
I asked to go somewhere else because they were being cunts.
Oh, she dropped the C-bomb.
But I get kicked off. Okay. All right.
How do they treat
tape
a woman sitting in row 22 of a JetBlue flight like this?
When did this happen?
No.
I guess mostly yesterday or something.
Yeah.
Why would anybody ever do this?
Fuck you. To get the
knowing
fuck. I'm
being
getting
taped.
Off the plane.
She drunk?
Don't touch my shit. I'll get off the plane. Get my shit off the fucking under things.
Stop with your technical jargon, lady. You don't know what that under thing is. Oh, shit.
Oh, because I called someone old. I get kicked off the fucking plane.
I think it's because you're on PCP.
Bye. Enjoy yourself in Vegas, babies. Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Say you hope
there
it crashes.
Not tonight.
Oh, boy. She should have went like this. I hope this fucker goes down.
There's always someone terrible on their way to Vegas, isn't it?
That is
every
true.
Time you take that flight.
That's true.
Either a group of fucking frat guys or...
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but you got to get there first.
Yes.
See? So if you do shit like that, it doesn't stay on the plane. You don't even stay on the plane. You got to get the fuck off the plane. I like how she voluntarily went, though. That's, you know, you got to give her that. Oh, God. She looks like
sexy.
A problem.
I like that kind of look.
You could tell with a little makeup, maybe a night's sleep. She might have something going on. She's got a little psoriasis on her skin.
I was going to say, there's some red shit in her hair.
I don't know what's going on there. But good for her. She got off the plane. I gotta give her points for that.
Is this her mugshot?
Yeah.
So she still got arrested for saying...
I guess so. I don't know.
Causing a disturbance.
Yeah, disorderly kind of conduct.
Delaying the flight, interfering with a flight crew. Here's the thing. I've said it many, many times. Once you walk through those magical doors of the magical machine that will whisk you through the cosmos at 500 per, it's not a democracy anymore. You can't just spout things off. You can't act and speak and move and do anything like you're a free person. On a plane, you're not. It is a dictatorship. The pilot is the emperor. He is the king. He is the Führer. His minion are every other crew member on that plane. They do his bidding. And you are a lowly serf who can be thrown out of the kingdom at any moment. Once you understand that, you'll have a great flight. Don't try to exercise your Americanism on a fucking plane. Thank you. Public service announcement.
Your phone should be shut off the second you, as far as talking.
Oh, yeah.
That's really why we're not allowed to use them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It would end up like the fucking train.
Exactly. So that's really it, so people can rest.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? That's what I believe, at least, is why you're supposed to shut them off. You shouldn't be allowed to use them at all, like, once you're through those doors.
As a matter of fact, I actually recorded this at the train station today and sent it to my girl because I'm like, oh, I will not be getting in the same fucking car as this woman. This was at the station before we even got onto the fucking train. This is coming out of her phone. This ain't even her talking. That's coming out of her phone, and then she talks, and I'm like, oh, no. I will not be in the same rail car as her, because that will carry through the whole car. In time, long time. I don't know what you're saying. I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but that is a horrible fuck of a language. It just sounds like noises.
Think about that. I was thinking about that today, of just what a horrible fucking language. This is the one I caught just...
You're just making noises. I don't even think that's a language.
It's just the pussy stink video.
Oh, your pussy stink. I love that one.
It all sounds like that white noise in The Sixth Sense. So when they put up the volume and you just can't understand what anybody's saying.
Hear some background
eerie. Yeah,
it's like, so annoying. Spooky. Dave Juskow is joining us.
Hello, Anthony.
Today.
Hello, David.
Love having Dave on the show.
I like being on the show.
You at March 26th will be at the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, I was there on Tuesday. That's the next one. Yeah, I'm doing a Final Four show.
Final Four show.
Yeah, a little basketball theme action.
At the Comedy Cellar, of course, on the podcast.
I saw you last Wednesday, last Tuesday.
Yes.
It was exciting.
At the Sailor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing the Comedy Cellar show from the table back there. Nightfly with Dave Juskow.
Yeah.
That's your name, of course. What am I doing? I'm
stuttering.
Well, they forgot the I, so it's Dabbed.
Oh. Well, that's how I pronounce it now.
Dabbed.
I'm one of those guys.
That, of course, is on iTunes.
Dabbed.
SoundCloud.
God.
Thank you, Stephen. No, it's Stefan.
We definitely appreciate you coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Time when you're here. We were just going to start talking about the Empire guy.
Oh, wait. Can I just say the one thing about the plane?
Please.
Just because when did that happen?
It had to be relatively recently.
I mean, you know what I think about the plane, the way I act on a plane is just like what you're saying.
Yeah.
I am always on my own usually, so I never look at anybody, I don't talk to anybody, and I always turn off my phone. I just thought it was polite, but nowadays I guess you don't have to, you just put it in airplane mode, and at least I can play games on it or something.
Yeah.
But, I think it's like you gotta treat it like the soup Nazi. And you go in, you make your order, and then you step to the side.
To the side.
Don't mess up, and don't look anybody in the eye. I don't understand why people don't get that. When you see these kind of videos, I'm like, what are you, like an idiot? I mean, you really must have a screw loose of some sort to start going going, wouldn't you, even if after she said something, I didn't see the beginning, wouldn't you just tone it down and be like, this could get me in trouble.
This could probably get me in trouble. Every video I've seen of people getting thrown off a plane, they're doing what I'm doing right now. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. You never see a guy sitting in his seat videoed on a plane. Because it's not exciting. He's not going to get thrown off. It's so nice.
No, I always act like Putty in the Seinfeld where he's just staring at the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't you want something to read? No.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only couple. It's like the only couple hours, though, in life where you can have an excuse for people not to get a hold of you. Like, look, I didn't want to buy the Wi-Fi.
Making it
I can show
it. And it's bothering me because you're right. There should be.
Yes. It's great. It's the only time I can read or, like,
watch a movie. Whatever the fuck you want to do. And you're not fucking with anyone else's shit. Yeah. They're not fucking with your shit. Like, everything, too, gets me. When you see people take their shoes off and put their feet up on the bulkhead.
I still don't understand that. I mean, if you've seen planes, trains, and automobiles, you know that sucks.
You don't do that. Thank you, Mr. E-Rock. They put in the eye. That's hilarious. I love it.
Now he won't
I love
be.
It.
I'm not sure what that name is.
What
Do you have a co-host also with the name David as well?
What a staff. just embrace, bask in the fact that you are a part of a miracle. You're flying through the air in a magical machine.
And, the last time I went to Vegas in April, there was a girl problem. She was screaming, but she was so hot that everybody just let it go.
Well, you will let
that go. I recorded it because that's the first time I ever recorded. I'm like, oh, maybe I got something going, you know. It was the same thing. But she was drunk, and I thought she was with this guy she was sitting next. But then it turned like the guy was like, Miss, can you please just shut up?
Oh wow!
I thought she was totally with this guy the way she was acting.
Wow, and he was like, shut up. I'd be kind of
Well, just after a while, he couldn't take
it
anymore.
Look at the plane and just go. I got this.
Yeah.
I'll calm her down and shit.
I saw her after. I saw her at the baggage claim, and I was going to be like, oh, you know, I was really upset that they were so rude to you on the plane. Because afterwards, then it's...
Yeah, then it's just like, oh.
I started to panic.
She's damaged, so there might be a chance.
I am not thinking that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. No, I like the damaged ones. Like, I thought that girl looked hot.
Yeah, she was
that's the kind of girl that would go out with me.
She's going to Vegas. Once she gets there, she'll put all that... fucking horse shit. Jack those big fucking tits up.
Fuck yeah.
Put on that little black tube sock that they put on. And then go to the club and the heels and fucking you bitches.
Put her napkin over a drink. But
that ineffective napkin.
Still wake up and
just roofie proof my drink, all right?
Yeah.
I noticed, or at least I used to take Virgin Airlines, because I noticed that JetBlue and United always have problems.
United
There's always
the
an incident.
I hate it.
Virgin never, you never heard.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would always fly that airline because
Virgin
never had a problem
awesome.
In the air and like with people or malfunctions.
Yeah.
But JetBlue always issues.
Virgin
United's
they,
even
they
worse.
Put that lighting. Oh, yeah. There's like a calming lighting.
Why doesn't everybody do that? Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone just change the light bulbs in the cabin?
The lighting and the music.
Pink or blue
and that
or something.
Spa music.
The music's nice. It's some new age horse shit.
Seems to work.
And you sit there and you're just like, oh. The whole plane is first class, I think. And I'm sitting up front, but I believe the whole plane.
And they were the first people to start those
maybe
kind
not.
Of comedy like videos as the safety
the
stuff.
The dumb safety funny guys.
Yeah, they were the first ones to like, well, let's just make it light.
Like it's a goof, you know? Don't worry. Yeah.
And then everybody ripped them off.
Everyone in front of me, very professional, though. Don't worry, the pilot, but me. I'm going to do something wacky with the seatbelt.
Don't smoke in the bathroom or else.
Device. I'm going to do some wackiness with the exits.
Yeah, because let's be honest, if we're barreling down and those oxygen masks are coming out, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even
quick
worry
you
about
put it
about
on.
United oxygen mask. Help someone next to you first. Yeah. Look at this. It's fucking like
there it is. Yeah.
Like when you got your own room as a kid and decided to put a black light bulb in the lamp.
It's like Greg's room in that episode of the Brady
Bunch.
His dad
drops down. He's like,
give him $10.
Carol. Like, I called him their first names. When Greg walks by, hey, Mike, Carol.
There's like doobies in the ashtray.
You'll call us mom and dad.
Yeah, you know who hates this airline? People with dandruff and pant stains.
Big fucking, the stewardess, the male stewardess just has this big glowing jizz stain under his fucking chin.
Can I get you something to drink? Well, anything except what you had.
Oh, what the fuck? It's on the back of his pants, on his fucking shirt. Just glowing, a glowing map of Hawaii. Shit.
Delta's doing that now, though, where they play, like, calming music, because I stopped flying Spirit, because just got
it. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you but, shouldn't, right? Yeah. Isn't that a bad?
No. Spirit.
But it's cheap, right?
It was so cheap.
And you travel a lot.
Yeah, that I'm like, all right, well, if it's $50, I'll just get the bus
with wings,
$40.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just, there's too much crying. That, you and American and United
yeah,
are fucking nightmare.
Like a boxcar to Dachau.
Yeah.
It's too much crying.
I started only going,
terrible.
It really is.
I started only going United. I just like flying out of Newark. I feel comfortable in Jersey. I'm a Jersey guy. I like it there. I used to do JFK because it's easy to get to. But
I did that when I fly out of Manhattan.
And United is the hub there, so it's.
If I have to leave Manhattan to go to a airport, I'll go to Newark.
You will too? Because like, I know you're a Long Island guy. If so I'm I Manhattan, maybe
if I'm in Manhattan and I'm flying out somewhere, I'll go to Newark. But if I'm home on Long Island, I'll go to JFK.
Right, because I think Newark's the I don't know, I like it. It's clean. It's nice. It seems okay. I don't know. It seems like
What is Newark's airline? Like their hub?
United.
Is United. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because JetBlue is Kennedy.
That's Kennedy.
So if you're going to Florida or something, it's pretty good. We went out to L.A. on JetBlue and used their Mint service.
Oh, how's
which
that?
Which is their first class.
Yeah.
Dude, it's better than any other airline's first class.
Really?
It's fucking awesome. You actually get those lay down pod beds.
Oh, they
and
made
the
those.
Service is amazing. Keith actually got one of the seats where you're just alone. It's you, and you have your own window, your own pod, and no one's even next to you.
Yeah, they're on like the 3 or 4 hour flight plus, right? Yeah. Like the longer flights for them, yeah.
Oh, it's fucking awesome. Mint was great. So I don't know what they're talking about. She was in row 22 bitching. You just be thankful the thing actually gets off the fucking ground. I hear from that woman
all
yelling.
People old.
Yeah, this is who is this dude?
Yeah, who's this guy?
Economy class. It's my favorite economy class. This new first class experience, it feels a little different from other airlines. Thank you.
Yeah, you get your own little fucking pod.
This is the Mint one?
Yeah.
Minty.
Turn your phone off. Your plane is going to crash. Yeah, they give you a little thing with your...
Ooh, socks.
And what is that?
Jesus Christ. This guy is...
Is it a Big J Oakerson flight?
And now a brief tour of my suite. Over here on the window side is this big, open kind of shelf-like space.
Here's where I could reassemble my bomb.
Like a second person, a small person could sleep up there. I have a little door on my suite here. Ready?
Oh, cool. Oh, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Now you could jack off and you won't even be able to see it.
Here's your towel.
Here's the towel to clean up with.
Oh, yeah.
You hand it back. It's glowing, too. Come on. This is hilarious.
No way.
They do give you... Nice, moist,
penis towel.
That's hilarious.
Smelling towels to sort of clean yourself up.
I would
with.
Take a shower every day if they had one like that. I mean, like on a plane every time.
You could plug the soldering iron in here.
How bad do you want this just to hit turbulence to see this guy scream?
Oh, yeah.
I hate him so much.
Hangs off the ceiling of the plane.
Just breaks that
forget
big,
everybody is in
nose.
The same jam.
It either. Is absolutely one of the best first classes, though.
Oh, a water bottle? Wait, they didn't say that.
But they got everything in here. Every little nuance.
Is it drinks as blowing. Expensive or is it less expensive than regular first class? Or
are you out of your mind? It's very expensive.
Oh, it is.
No, it's actually less expensive than ordinary first class.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's like obviously it's a premium for JetBlue, but I don't know. I guess they figure the whole plane's going there anyway. as well.
Dude, that's great.
And then,
could you have a remote because you don't want to reach up 2 feet?
Right. Well, that's for when you lay your seat down completely in a bed and go to sleep.
Cool. Look at this.
The seat goes flat back. It's fucking awesome.
But it seems like a waste to just take a 2 hour flight.
Yeah. You know what I've discovered?
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's so cool.
I've discovered that if two people don't sit next to you, your seat can become a bed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
That's what I've learned about flying.
See, that's not. Do you know what my to do that?
It's like a booth at Denny's.
Do you know what my brother-in-law started doing? He started, when him and my sister fly, they get an aisle seat and a window seat and hope for the best. That no one will take the middle.
That's a crapshoot.
And if they do, then the person's thrilled that they'll either get the aisle or the window.
That's a good idea.
Or he gets lucky. It's a crapshoot, but it's not a horrible plan.
No, because if no one shows up, then you're fucking.
And you know, a lot of times you don't want to take that middle seat, you know, because you know people are there. So
that's a really good idea.
I know. Actually. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it.
Choice of
Yeah, it's smart, though.
Seats. That reminds me of something. It has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but it does remind me of this problem I read about. I do get a little I do get a little existential every so often. I do get a little I talk about science sometimes and logic and physics and things. And I read this. Now, you're probably not going to even fucking stay along with this, but I got to get it out of my system. Did you ever hear of the Monty Hall problem?
No.
Monty Hall is the guy from Let's Make a Deal. And the big thing was the big deal of the day. It was you get to choose from three doors, three big doors on the stage. Door one, door two, door three. The grand prize is behind one of the doors. And then you could get zonked, which would be like a donkey behind the other doors. And it's terrible. So your pick. Let's say there's two donkeys and one grand prize on one door. Yes, exactly. This is fucked up. Now, let's say you pick door number one. He opens door number three. There's a donkey behind it.
First, right?
There's a donkey behind it. Are your odds better or worse of winning if you now change from door one to door two, now that door three has been opened? It logically, it seems like it should just be 50-50.
Because he does give you the choice, right?
Now, yes. It's like, would you like to keep door one, or you could change to door two? Now, door three is open. It's the zonk. So you know the grand prize is behind door number one or two. But you also know a zonk is behind door one or two. You've picked door one. Will the odds of you winning be better, worse, or the same if you switch to door two? Oh,
I have no idea.
That's a puzzle.
Now, logic would have you think
that
once door three is out of the equation, it's a 50-50 shot if you change.
Right.
It's not. The odds are better if you change.
Really?
To door two.
How can that be?
It doesn't make sense. It drives me crazy. I've been thinking of this for days.
But wait. So they can move the donkey?
No.
What?
There's a donkey behind door number three.
No, they open three already.
They open three.
Oh, there's a donkey.
There was a donkey behind it.
Okay.
You pick door number one. You don't know what's behind door number one or door number two at this point.
Right.
You know door number three is a zonk.
You would assume number one.
Well, you wouldn't assume. You don't know. Yeah. So door one could be a donkey or the grand prize. Door two could be a donkey or the grand prize. Door three is opened, and it's a donkey. So now you pick door one. Do you change now from door one to door two? The logic and professors and statisticians and everything have said, yes, you switch because the odds are better. Now, I've heard of it played out this way. Let's say you have two people. You can pick door number one or you can pick door number two and three. Now, what are the odds of the person that picks door number two and three? 2 to 3. The odds of the person that picks door number one is just 1 in 3. So obviously, the person that picks 2 and 3 has an advantage. Now they open door number three. There's a donkey there. They still have that 2 to 3 advantage over door number one. Even though door number three has been opened, you cannot negate that it is still a choice that was made. Do you get it? No. I don't.
Monty Hall's a real fucking prick.
I know.
This is just a game
show.
It's depicted in The Odd Couple.
It's been dry.
I know, right?
Here's another example. Twice. Somebody gave that
two episodes
kind of
a
lunatic.
You stole
another
Felix's
example.
Song?
Someone gave that kind of fit the logic. You have a deck of cards. Now, you have to pick the 10 of diamonds out of that deck of cards at random. So you got 52 cards. The odds are 52-1 that you will actually pick a card and it'll be the 10 of diamonds, right? So you pick a card, you put it face down. Now you give the deck to somebody. They go through the deck and take out all of the cards that aren't the 10 of diamonds. They've gone through it. And they put that card down. What are the odds? The odds are now, like, guaranteed that it's the 10 of diamonds. So I don't get it either.
Do they hand you the 10 of diamonds?
No.
You've
got to pick.
Card.
You picked. What, the odds of actually.
The cards have been removed.
If you have a deck of cards and you pick one out,
yeah.
The odds of you actually picking out the card that you were told to pick out
are
1 in 52.
Right.
But now if you. Even if you're turning over all the cards and they're not the 10 of diamonds, once you get to the last two cards, there's two cards left.
I gotcha.
You put them down now.
Gotcha.
One is the 10 of diamonds, one isn't. Would you now switch your card, which was 52-1 odds, or the two cards where you know it's one is actually the 10 of diamonds? You're going to switch.
Absolutely.
See?
You can't win otherwise.
Right. You were going to switch. I see what you're saying. Boy, that's good.
It's
that was a good
crazy.
Analogy. That was a better analogy.
I've been racking
I didn't think I was able to find my mind trying to
wrap my mind around the logic as to why it isn't. Because you would think once you pick that third door, once he opens the third door and shows the donkey, it becomes 50-50. There's two doors, one prize, one donkey. It doesn't matter. It's a 50-50 shot. But apparently that is not true.
Wow.
It makes no sense. Look at it. This has been discussed online and everything. It's a very big kind of a problem that a lot of scientists and people have pondered over and done articles on and research papers. Yeah. And it's pretty cool if you're into that kind of thing. Anyway.
Isn't it just you have a choice that it's a 1/3 chance of getting it right? Now you have a choice of 1/2 chance of getting it right. Make a choice with the 1/2 instead of the 1/3.
Right.
Exactly.
So that's why it's no matter what your first choice was, because you just have better odds this time.
Right.
Well, you go from 1/3 to 50-50.
Pick the team that's going to win the Super Bowl. You have three teams. You pick a team. Now they're like, don't worry about the money you bet. Now just pick out of the two teams.
Right. You're
just going to pick out of the two teams. No matter what, because it's these better odds.
Well, it's almost like the beginning analogy is the beginning of the season. You randomly will just pick a team that could win, but then it goes down to the two.
Yeah, and once it gets to the playoffs, if you could pick again, you just might as well pick. Even if you have a team in the playoffs, you might as well just pick again.
Yeah.
But that's like saying at the beginning of the season, you have the Pats. You say, Pats are going to win. And then you get all the way down to the Super Bowl. There's two teams left. Do you automatically just switch teams?
So you hedge your
bet. Will it matter?
Yeah,
I just like out of probability chance, yes, because you're picking out of a tighter pool.
I'm a gambling man. I double down.
It's crazy. You're Gina Bisconti. Right. And you go across the street, polish off a bottle of Jameson, pass out on the floor, and then no matter who you bet on, you lose.
And convince a close friend to bet against his interest.
Right. As you punch him in the shoulder because he's not doing enough shots for your fucking...
Speaking of, he went to bed at 4 o'clock, got up to do a show at 9, went across the street to get drunk, and now is on a flight to Utah to go snowboarding.
Oh, my God.
He snowboards?
Yes.
Wouldn't
I can't imagine him snowboarding. First of all, drinking in cold weather and snowboarding.
Hurt severely.
You could probably get hurt. Although drunk people don't, you know, they're loose when they...
It's usually the next day you feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see Bob Kelly?
Yeah.
Or what?
He cracked a bunch
of
ribs.
Ribs tubing.
When? We just saw him on Tuesday, right?
Two days ago.
Oh, 2 days ago.
I heard him yesterday,
Where was he tubing?
Yeah, where's he tubing?
I don't know.
Well, there's got to be a lot of places
around
here.
He put the video behind his Patreon, and I'm not a subscriber.
Maybe it's that indoor water park I see advertised all the time on TV.
An indoor water park.
What would this guy be doing at a water park?
I think it was a snow tube.
Oh, was it snow tubing?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I broke my rib.
I broke my ribs, man.
Oh,
I broke my ribs,
my
dude.
Yeah, he did break his rib.
Steadicam.
Two of them.
Fuck.
He probably launched off of Little Jump and hit the ground, not realizing, you know, someone of his stature.
I'm in so much fucking pain.
There's another scientific formula you could use for mass, weight, gravity.
I'm a fucking doctor or something. Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
We just saw
him. Oh, he's on.
Oh, jeez. He looks like Darth Vader after the helmet comes off.
Yeah.
Darth, we call him Darth Ader. He eats a lot. Dude, I'm in an ambulance, dude. Are you kidding me?
The explanation.
He had to go in the. Oh my God!
That was the sad one.
Phony neck brace. What a faker. I'm gonna do it.
I guess apparently.
Oh my God! They did it. Oh, okay. It wasn't just me.
Cracked ribs.
Great minds think a lot. Actually said that. Great minds think a lot. Do they, Rich? Do they?
Please.
You don't have to worry about that then.
Yeah. Cracked ribs are the only ones.
I've done it with my dad, who's
back
too
out on the slopes of Mountain Creek.
Oh, did he go right back?
Forehand.
Doing what I know how to do. That's about it. I'm gonna have a banana. Thank all you fuckers who, for all your kind words. Crack ribs suck. But I'm okay. I'm gonna go watch Max snowboard for the first time. Yeah. And I'll show you some videos, right? Godspeed. Ah, yes.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Heaven from Mountain Creek.
He's so used to eating ribs, it's good to see him get a little payback.
Remember Jussie Smollett, after he broke his ribs, was on the concert stage dancing and saying he was the gay Tupac.
Oh, that's right.
After he broke his ribs, yeah.
I think he might have been lying.
Yeah.
Might have been a fib.
Because if you even laugh with broken ribs, it's horrifically painful.
He broke his... Jussie Smollett, this is a... Are you kidding? Or was this an addition to...
That was where he said he broke his ribs.
He's done this before. Like,
no,
lied.
This was from the episode.
Oh, it's from the episode. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The next day, he was just dancing. Right.
And he said he had facial lacerations and broken ribs. And then the story came out that, oh, wait, there's no report of him having broken ribs.
I didn't hear that either. So, but you say the next day, they decided
to
not go with that one because they saw him dancing on stage.
Yeah. He was carrying a sandwich.
Yeah, a Subway sandwich. Unfucking believable.
That's the best.
Subway must just be going, can we have one person that fucking eats our sandwiches that isn't a piece of shit? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Actually, they probably have a meeting like, this guy would be better than our last spokesman.
God. And found in Ted Bundy's Volkswagen, Subway wrappers in the back seat.
And in Jeffrey Dahmer's freezer, a human head in a Subway bag.
One of John Wayne Gacy, that funny clown's favorite meals, was a Subway sandwich.
Liked a 12-incher. He would eat half and stick half into a dead boy's ass.
He'd eat half and bury the other half in his crawl space, covered in lime.
People noticed when the sandwich began to stink.
Yeah, the whole neighborhood. That smells like rotting Subway sandwiches. Unfuckbelievable. Yeah, so the Empire actor, Jussie fucking Smollett.
You just say former right in front of that one.
Former Empire actor.
I think they already got rid of him, right?
Yeah, they wrote him off.
Yeah, they arrested him. Last night, charges were put against him. They brought him in or arranged some kind of a delivery. The FBI didn't kick his door in. Mm. There weren't 20 fucking cops kicking his fucking door in. But he was able to surrender to police. He is now free on a $100,000 bond. That's 10 grand cash.
Right.
He's got that.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that. Did the brothers post his bail for him?
Yeah, the brothers showed up.
Give his bail.
Yeah, they sold a couple ski masks and gave them what they got for
it. That's the best. They have them on video going to the store. But it's like, why wouldn't you just call right then?
Yeah.
It's two black guys come in looking for ski masks. And then when they leave the store, they put it on their hoodie. And I'm like, this right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the cops.
I would call the cops. Yeah.
These guys are up to something.
It looks like don't ask, don't tell. They paid with a $100 bill, which he gave them.
Well, and if you were going to be that sloppy, why don't you just use your fucking Amazon account?
Yeah, right.
Weren't going all out, you know.
So Smollett, who's black and gay?
What?
Never knew that. I don't see color or sexuality.
You mean the gay Tupac?
The gay Tupac.
I bet if you said that to Tupac, he'd really appreciate it.
He turned himself in to face accusations. He filed a false police report. Of course, we know details of that. The actor took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. Johnson told... Who's this? Police superintendent, Eddie Johnson. This publicity stunt was a scar that Chicago didn't earn and certainly didn't deserve. Man, Johnson would not say whether Smollett could face additional charges. The company that makes Empire, Fox Entertainment, 20th Century Fox Television, issued a statement Thursday to say that they were evaluating the situation and considering our options. Goodbye.
Well, technically, they should have him on because the ratings would be.
Good. You know what? That first show back.
Right.
Have him on one episode.
Right. One episode where he gets killed off. He gets mugged in Chicago by two MAGA people. Actually, use his plot as the plot. Oh, that would be hilarious.
Two big, giant Nigerian fellas.
Nigerian fellas with
ripped
MAGA
right
hats.
From the headlines.
Yeah. Yes, ripped from the headlines. A very special empire.
Get a raise.
That's great. I mean, you know what's weird? I didn't even know Empire was still on the air. I remember how it was.
Yeah.
It was the highest rated show on television.
It's huge, yeah.
3-4 years ago. I didn't even know it was still on. I thought it was over.
Fads go pretty quickly.
So then they do. But then I thought, you know, maybe it had something to do, like maybe the people from Empire were like, hey, if you do this, it would be helpful for the show.
Yeah.
Which it is in a way, because I'm like, oh, I didn't know the show was still on the air, that they had to write him off. I thought he was the ex-actor from Empire.
I know. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But
it actually does help the show, which they should actually be grateful.
Yeah. Well, it's
they should shut up.
Is Terrence Howard, because they had a really good cast, I remember, at first, but I haven't.
That woman, the lead to whatever her name is, Tija Hara, or whatever, like the one, she's been in the movies, she was nominated for an Oscar.
They've had good careers.
All because of that Empire, and then chose to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
This is just breaking, that Terrence Howard is driving Jesse in a white Bronco to his mom's house. Because he wants to see his mom.
That would be awesome.
Now,
if you
so want to
see how that ends, you could show the scene from Crash with the cop.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Real live footage right now.
I miss OJ.
Yeah, I do.
He was great.
You know what he doesn't miss? His wife.
Oh, no. Or some Budinsky kid that wants to fuck her.
I wonder if they'll show him presenting at the Oscars in 1976. Maybe they'll show a little clip.
Yeah.
This day in history.
Well, Jesse, I'll help you look for the real assaulters if you help me look for the real killers.
The other day he handed the Oscar to somebody and the head fell off and he was like, that gives me an idea.
What did he present?
I don't know. I just know he was...
He was presenting at the Oscars.
It was for
he was a an actor for a while. Before the Naked Gun movies.
Was he in the Towering Inferno?
Towering Inferno, or was it Earthquake? It was Towering Inferno.
I'm a fireman.
Yeah,
it was Fred Astaire was nominated for that.
I'm going to use the jaws of death on her.
I don't think that's what it's called, OJ.
Aren't they the jaws of death?
Right? I don't know, OJ. I think
snap a person's head right off with this.
OJ, you're not doing the line right. You keep getting it wrong.
What do you do with that axe, OJ? It's a garden fire.
I just thought I'd bring a little, you know, realism into
the axe is used to bust down a door. This is a brush fire. Well, you never know who you might see. Bring in sunglasses. Oh, look.
Ms. Susan Berkeley and the juice himself, OJ Simpson.
Right
around the time of Sammy.
Look out, Susan.
Yes, too.
Oh, that's good.
Sammy did share the same.
Oh, I wish I'd told me that.
Oh, my God. Oh, look out, Susan.
She's hot.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Where are the white women
it
at?
It takes imagination.
He's thinking about it right now. I'm going to kill my wife and go out with this girl.
She's all kinds of fucking.
Tasteful and talented people who have been nominated.
Punch you in the face after shooting your tires out.
In art directions are.
Richard Silbert and W. Stuart Campbell.
She looks
for
just
Chinatown.
Like his wife. So.
Set decoration by Ruby Levin.
He's probably confused.
Alexander Gullickson.
I give it to Chinatown.
And E. Preston Ames for Earthquake.
Oh.
Set decoration by Frank McGelvey.
Dean Cavalleras and Angela Graham.
Look how hot she is.
So
she just looks like a hot
set
mess. She looks all fucking stone.
Yes, stone and
Peter
stuff.
Ellen Shaw
it's a good
and
year for
Moon,
they're hilarious together.
Walter Tyler and Al
they're
Royals
really bringing life to the Oscars. The
do you know you're standing next to a murderer?
That's what she's laughing at.
William
she's
Cleaver
like, this is
going to
be hilarious 30 years from
Inferno.
Now.
I was in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm the juice.
Okay, they're going to find it.
Why aren't they
next to a fence?
The winner ain't Nicole
Dean
Brown Simpson.
And Angela Graham for The Godfather Part 2.
I heard that was a good movie.
So this was
how that movie did. Yeah, yeah.
75.
75 was The Towering Inferno.
Almost 20 years before the murder.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy.
That girl's laughing. She's like, 20 years from now, this is going to be a hilarious movie.
Yeah.
She's
yeah,
like, I know what I
by the way, I went into the future. Yeah. Hilarious. wait till Bruce Jenner comes out.
Yeah.
You also got
but
a little
their start. Signs were all there in the, what's the, yeah. the dance movie he did where he's wearing the short shorts and the
Oh, yeah, you mean... Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music.
Gayest movie.
OJ again.
But I heard the director didn't. He said
they always
need you to wear that. He's yeah, like, yeah. No.
This is cool. Yeah, this is what I want to do.
Pair OJ up with white women.
Yeah, they do.
There are two categories
yeah,
for short.
By
subjects.
His request.
The nominees for best.
Remember, he used to say, "I'm not black. I'm OJ."
Great, Bob Godfrey, producer.
And he was at the Oscars more than once.
Monsieur Poitou,
he looks like AOC.
Bernard Longuet and André
I don't know
Le
what
Duke
they're
producer.
Doing. This is like an edit.
This. Marcel Yankovic, producer.
Yankovic.
And the winner is.
How about Shankovic?
He's much more relaxed this time.
Yeah. Well, open it, bitch.
Open that fucking thing, you bitch.
Same way I'm gonna open your neck vein.
She gives herself a paper cut opening, and OJ looks at the cut like a vampire.
Well, you can see he was.
That gives me an idea.
His pants get very tight.
He was feeling better this time because he doesn't find this girl attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
that's
no.
When he was like, you're stirring some stuff up inside.
You ain't got no blonde hair, bitch.
You ain't got that hair color that makes you want to stab and stab and.
You can't
stab.
See the blood in brown hair. Blonde hair, you could see the blood.
I like that you ain't fucking a busboy.
I don't like that they don't have any banter beforehand, stupid. Like,
nah.
Hey, OJ, when you were in the Towering Inferno, you know,
right.
That's because many times when an actor, I was missing that.
Here's a man that not only burnt it up on the field, but burnt it up in the Towering Inferno.
Oh, so bad.
Oh, is it? Is that what he did?
That's what I needed.
Is it as bad as Billy Crystal coming out dancing in like a Hannibal Lecter mask?
It's
just as bad.
Even when I was a kid, I was like, this is shit, and I liked him.
The Oscars are just shit. I'm so glad. I guess it's this Sunday.
Yeah.
The Oscars. I'm so glad they couldn't get a host because they stabbed themselves in their own fucking ass with this PC nonsense.
Is there no host? Is that
there's
official?
No host.
It is official.
So it's just going to be
you're
a bunch
so
of
right.
celebs.
You know, it's like a joke. They're like, oh, there's no black people nominated. And I'm like, well, I don't think it's by choice. It's
no,
just,
it's whatever it is.
You can't just nominate a black person because
they
have to.
But to hear that too, it's like you're about to give Black Panther the best picture. You know they are. They're putting.
I have
it
no
in
problem
there.
With that.
I don't either. But
I hated that
like,
Roma. That's why it was horrible. Yeah. I've seen them all. I think.
Yeah.
Well, I say one of the colored pictures is going to win.
One of the
black
colored.
Panther, black or green book. Yeah. I'm talking about black and green. Why? What do you think green. I would say? It? No.
That's the thing my is, Martin Luther King joke.
Hollywood, though, looked down on they looked at as bottom of the barrel at any superhero movie.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Only reason Heath Ledger won was because he's dead.
He's
dead, right?
It's not. I mean, he deserved it.
Yeah,
he was amazing,
always
but he
always
would not have won. He would
the
not
the
have
year
won.
That they had the problem with not putting a black person in the supporting actor category. I remember Rachel McAdams was nominated for Spotlight, and she was okay. It wasn't an academy, and that's. That's where you could have plugged somebody in if they were worried. And if they were serious about this nonsense, Get Out would have won last year.
Instead of the stupid
Shape of Water, which was a bag of shit.
Shape of Water.
Get Out was amazing.
Oh.
It was political. It was different. That was your chance.
I'll tell you what.
Change everything around, you dumb fucks.
Shape of Water was a wacky fucking movie. But that goofy-looking bitch had some nice tits.
Cinematic.
I gotta be honest.
It's a fine movie.
It was a good-looking movie.
But it's not a Best Picture of the Year movie. That's the thing. Just like this Roma. It's okay, but it's not Best Picture of the Year.
Get Out kind of reinvented horror. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And Jordan Peele's new one, Us, like he goes, that was about how race is involved in everything. My next one is about how race has nothing to do with anything. So I'm really interested.
Yeah, this kid's cool. I mean, there it is.
Jordan Peele's a fucking genius.
He's a genius.
Shit.
Movie Get Out is amazing, and all you have to do is make that Best Picture, and everything's solved that quickly.
Push. She has some good titties on that.
Yeah. I remember she has that jerking off scene.
That wacky looking fuck.
She fooled around with Louis C.K. in the Woody Allen movie.
Really?
Did she?
Yeah. Yeah.
When he stands in front of a door and jacks off while she's crying, saying that she wants her own special.
No, I don't remember that. Although that does seem like a new Woody Allen movie.
In her lap. She got a sea urchin in her lap over there.
Blue Jasmine.
Yeah, that was a good movie. You know who's really good in that? Dice.
Oh my God, he was.
Yeah, Dice.
He should have been nominated for that. He was amazing.
For that one.
That last scene that he did, he's like, hey, sometimes, you know, it's not that easy. It was amazing.
Dice is fucking great.
He was so good in that.
Everything he's in, except maybe Ford Fairlane, because he's playing Dice.
But it's still so entertaining, but it's
awful. So entertaining, but it's a terrible movie.
He was great in Blue Jasmine. Really great.
He was great in that.
Totally deserving of an Oscar.
What was that HBO series?
The Showtime with him?
Was Entourage.
No, it was an HBO series that had like one.
Vinyl.
Vinyl. He was in one episode of that. They kill him off. He plays like a shock jock or something. And he's great. He's fucking awesome.
He's a good actor.
And he plays an asshole on one episode of Entourage. I think he has himself over the top.
You ever seen him in MASH?
No.
Wait,
he was in it, yeah.
Movie?
No,
the TV show?
The TV show.
Did he play a soldier?
Pull up that
does
clip.
Sound familiar
was it
now.
Late?
Did.
Late in the series?
No.
Really?
It was pretty early. Like, Dice has been around for a while. And initially, he wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
He did.
No, I know. It's...
And Dice was a character. It's fucking hilarious how much shit he took for playing an absolute character. That's not Andrew Dice Clay or Andrew Clay or Andrew Silverstein. It's a character.
Did you see the Gaga Bradley Cooper movie?
It's
really good, and Dice is amazing in it.
He plays
Lady Gaga's dad.
It wasn't the ones with...
Fucking great, dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It wasn't the ones with the early ones.
Oh, with Trapper.
Trapper.
Those are the best ones.
I guess I bumped
Star is born.
It smells like you had a few dozen drinks to kill the pain.
Oh, well, us Marines were just having a little party, too.
He's still in
Dice. Yeah, I know. We almost called the cops on account of the noise.
Yeah, it was great. Me and this corporal decided to have a little Jeep race backward.
Boy,
don't ever race a Jeep backward, Doc.
I'll try
He's
to remember
He's doing
that.
His John Travolta.
Oh, it was going great. I was ahead.
Hey, come on.
Or was it behind? Anyway, this dumb chicken gets in the way.
Was he in another episode earlier? I kind of remember him just laying in a...
I've seen every episode. I don't remember this. Yeah, I remember laying in the bed.
I was going to say, because I've...
That's okay.
I watched every one of these with my dad, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, Honeycutt's dressed like Mork.
Yeah,
with the suspended... I thought that was another clip of him laying in a bed.
Yeah, I seem to remember that, too.
Not doing Dice. He's kind of doing...
Maybe they brought him back on later.
I think they did more of a Dice character. Because he was just kind of a,
Even the way he looked like a later episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always wonder how he got in Pretty in Pink, too, like as Dice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did John Hughes go
see
him?
Probably just went, oh, we got to get that guy in.
Yeah, I mean, he was great.
It's hilarious.
How come you never give the duck man any, you know, whatever?
Yeah,
So good. And even let him do the cigarette thing.
The cigarette move.
Unbelievable.
John Hughes was always kind of anti-Hollywood, even though he was part of it. You know, like he just...
Like he would always shoot in Chicago.
Yeah, even at the end, too, he just was a hermit who was like, here's a shitty script that'll be a hit. Here's a shitty script that'll be a hit.
Yeah, I had a friend who was his assistant on my podcast like a couple months ago. The guy went in his first day. He goes, hey, do you want to see my new new movie, just you, me, and the producer, the head of Paramount. It's called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We're going to just go watch it. That was his first day.
Yeah, that, like, how'd that movie do?
Did all right.
Was it good? What's
it about? Noise in the business.
But they wouldn't let him do certain things. I remember that. So it was like, all right, here's Beethoven, here's Home Alone. Well,
that's what he told me. He told me he was just... punch out the scripts.
Yeah.
Crap. You know, he didn't care. He just wow. went writing and
yeah,
writing.
You look at his last, cramp. Like, 20 movies.
Meanwhile, Beethoven, four sequels.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and he gets credited for all of the creating.
I think the only movie he had that wasn't, like, giant was Dutch, and I think it still made money.
That's all with right. Ed O'Neill.
O'Neill, yeah. Ed O'Neill and the kid. Did you find another Dice one?
But it is that I still always am fascinated how he got in Pretty in Pink.
Well,
yeah. I think it's got, yeah, he had to have just seen him and thought, like, throw him in.
Yeah.
What would he be doing in L.A.? Like, how could he have, because that's the thing you can't even audition for. I mean, and clearly,
yeah.
like, the part was maybe even written for, I mean, his name is Dice
in it.
Pretty in
yeah,
Pink.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
where would,
yeah.
and where would John Hughes be in L.A.? You said he doesn't like, you know, we know he's a Chicago guy.
He's always a Chicago guy, yeah.
So why would he have seen him unless maybe one of, he had somebody there. He goes, you gotta see this guy.
Yeah, I think he lived in L.A. briefly, but I don't.
He came to Pips in Brooklyn.
Froze off her Pips.
Yeah,
her Pips.
I started there in 1983. That must have been after he
wow.
was there. I know, a long time ago. That's where I first started. I never saw the Dice Man.
No? Yeah, no. Pips, he
must have
goes
been there
down
early,
as,
yeah. early on.
Being one of his.
If he was in MASH...
Can't stand these.
Oh, ones. This is your favorite. This I'm always like, oh, we'll make fun of the Shriners thing. I love that.
You know what? No, this new kid. Yeah, pop that. I love the new kid.
He's adorable. You got to admit it.
And he's like, fuck you, you little replacement.
Yeah.
He's gonna make believe. Oh, Jesus
oh, that's
Christ.
Disturbing.
Oh, just watch her swim in circles.
When you give at lowshriners.org,
like a fucking battleship that got torpedoed in the rudder.
Who give just $19 a month
like the
to
fucking,
these kids' lives.
Who's gonna eat?
Oh, my God. What is that?
He's going to eat
looks
the
like
wishbone.
That, and that Kristen Wiig uses on Saturday Night Live sometimes. I guess.
Oh. Yeah,
kid. I don't like the new kid. I like that one who makes that.
No, this kid right now, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say he was mugged in Chicago by some MAGA people because he knows that little kid has taken his spot.
He's like,
look, he's adorable.
Two Nigerians scream racial slurs at me.
Have you seen that Mr. Rogers documentary?
Wearing adorable yes. blankets.
And at the
adorable.
End where they show that kid and he, like, Jeffrey and he's...
Oh, yeah, and he...
And it was amazing, I mean, because he remembered
still
his
alive.
Name. He's like, Jeffrey, like, you knew the guy. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That's the real deal.
Mr.
Yeah.
Rogers.
I don't know if I could be that cool.
I like that. That new kid's hilarious, though, because in the commercial, he goes, I broke my bones 200 times. Like it's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Wrap him in bubble wrap and put him in a fucking styrofoam box.
Yeah.
He's all happy. He goes, my name's, and I broke my bones 200 times. Ooh,
in
accomplishment.
In 10
like that
years, he's going to be bombing a train to try to find somebody unbreakable.
Listen,
I
old
last night for the first time.
Little graham cracker skeleton.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. It's
just,
right.
I just saw Unbreakable for the first time last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's when you mentioned the broken arms that you just said. But I thought it would be different. I didn't love it as much as I was kind of waiting for something to happen.
It's just
seeing it 20 years later, very slowly.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'd start with that and then watch The Split and then watch Glass. You know, I thought
I'd get the whole thing going.
It's fine, but when you realize that one of his characters are Chip, you stop enjoying it.
It is.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
holy shit. It's one of his fucking little sociopathic characters. Yeah, his schizophrenic characters is Chip.
Is it Glass is the new one out that's all the characters?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why
that was their big
start from the,
big the beginning. Yeah.
I mean, just last night I watched it and I always like that seems like a really good, but it was so slow. Yeah, it was, I don't know if you could put out that movie today.
M. Night Shyamalan really had promise and I only really like the out of all of them. I did like that though, but Signs was okay.
Signs I liked.
Until the end where he pulls out the baseball bat and he's like, swing away. And I'm
chill.
The movie.
That Sixth Sense was so good.
Sixth Sense
was like Get Out.
Amazing. Yeah.
That it's too bad he couldn't follow it up.
When you put out a movie that has a commitment made at the when you go into it saying we need to fool the audience till the end of the movie because if they catch on the movie's over.
Yeah.
That is a leap of fucking faith you got to take in your writing and how you film it and everything where it's like you got to have things in there so you could look back and go, "Oh, that's why." But they can't be enough where you go, "Oh, he's dead." This movie stinks.
Yeah. And the one he did.
It's a fucking bold move.
Yeah. Totally bold. And, you know, one of those things, especially, well, this was years ago, but in this day and age, I wonder if you could pull that off.
I know.
There's no way with Twitter. With the internet,
he wanted to be fucking,
he's dead.
He wanted to be a new Hitchcock. That was his whole thing and why he had that twist at the end.
Oh, like Psycho. Same thing where you weren't allowed, you know, people tried to save the ending for you, like back in the day.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and even the one with the grandparents should have been pretty good, but immediately during the credits of that movie, the little kid starts rapping, and you're like, well, you ruined the whole fucking
movie.
Like, I honestly like the movie until the kid is just rapping, and it's like, well, you just took me out of this being anything.
Well, the whole thing, that it almost became synonymous saying he's dead the whole movie with spoilers, with spoiling the movie. Like, you talk about a movie and go, well, don't ruin it. It's like, oh, he's dead the whole movie. And it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
I just to say it, but it became like part of pop culture to.
I mean, I wonder if you can make anything like that, like Darth Vader being Luke's father anymore, without not knowing a week later. I mean, could you ever make a movie like that ever again?
There was a guy driving. I mean, not that the internet's not there, but there was a guy driving around with Han Solo dies when that Star Wars movie came out on the back of his Jeep.
That's just, well, I guess nobody cared.
He's been dead the whole series.
I was so angry about that movie too, because when your complete true hero, you know, doesn't go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
It pissed me off to know when
his son's
just so angry.
It's such a
shitty
death.
Should have been in the Falcon.
Did you see the
diving in on some shit?
That's right. And saving everyone.
TIE fighters all over his ass.
That's the way.
Yeah, we're going in, Chewie. I'll suck your dick. What? Hey, what is he just? Is he sucking Chewbacca's cock?
Oh my god!
You motherfuckers wrecked the character.
She's eating Leia's.
What the?
But at least in the next one, Mark Hamill goes out the way he's supposed to, even though it's like a rooted. That's the way I wanted Harrison Ford to go. Harrison Ford, the coolest man ever, needs a blaze of glory.
His whiny fucking son.
Oh my god! I
his whining son so kills him.
That character wasn't even supposed to be his.
No,
no. He went in and he was the guy because he was in American Graffiti, so he would read with people.
Right, right. Oh, it's
yeah. And
classic.
That's when yeah.
He said they said he was too old.
Yeah, and then George Lucas was like, "This guy's the greatest."
Yeah, they have clips of him reading with Cindy from Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, and different people auditioning.
You know, and then finally George Lucas was smart. He goes, "You should just do it."
Yeah, he's like, "You're the best at this." Yeah.
So that's how he became Han Solo.
Han Solo. He was,
and that's the other thing with those horrible episodes 1, 2, and 3. It's missing Harrison Ford. It's missing the comedy where they're like, well, we'll put into this Jar Jar Binks. They're missing the point. The comedy was a man.
It was a
being
guy.
A man
being
and
a
fucking awesome dude and a gambler and a, you know, he won the thing in a poker game.
A charlatan.
I mean, this guy was fucking cool. And then, you know, I love you. I know. I mean, this guy was a man. They don't have a character like that ever again in anything.
I love you. I know is hilarious.
It's unbelievable.
It's so fucking hilarious.
We'll never see the likes of that again.
No.
That's why this guy needed, if they're going to put him in another movie, they've got to go out in a blaze of glory.
You know what sucks about a prequel, though, where they do that? Like, they could put, and even watching the movie Solo, where it is the younger, there's no,
enough.
But there's no mystery to what happens. You know, no matter how crazy the situation is, he's not going to die.
Right.
So it takes all the risk out of watching it, like, oh, will he get out of that one? Well, he's in the next fucking chapter, so of course
you're right. And plus, this kid sucked. And he wasn't good enough.
He wasn't good enough.
I don't know why you.
I don't know if he wasn't
audition
good,
somebody,
or the Han Solo character with Harrison Ford was so good. It's very hard to.
I think that's the thing. I think don't go there. Really, it's just
don't even
say Lando.
Maybe it's
young
just,
Indiana
it's
Jones.
Our age
that didn't work.
It was just like he's just the greatest, and no one can live up to him.
But Lando Calrissian also in that is played by Donald Glover, who's like a different
He was good.
Yeah, he's Childish Gambino, so he's kind of like cool. So like I get the casting.
Yeah.
And
but he did
backwards.
Good in that
because
role.
He's
so there must
Williams,
be a way you
a
can
smooth
find somebody.
Motherfucker.
Oh, he was.
So you gotta be him.
He's a rapper and he's good at what he does.
Point.
But yeah,
so then there we are. That kid sucked. And they should
but
find a better actor.
That's what I mean. Now. The way they casted Han Solo wasn't.
that is.
It all goes back to hurting our friend.
Mom Kelly. Oh Jesus Christ.
I would be if I was going to take a picture and then show it to him at the, you know, when I see him, but I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
I won't do that. That's and then the real amazing thing is you got Harrison Ford doing Han Solo, And then he's like, oh, and I'm also Indiana Jones, the other coolest motherfucker ever.
So this is the coolest guy
for
ever.
Our generation.
What is it we're talking about? Like, who's cooler?
No one.
There's nobody in anymore.
No.
That's that cool, especially with two franchises.
Because like toxic masculinity.
And The Fugitive also.
Oh, my God,
massive,
which is amazing, too.
Yeah. That
he's
was
just simple. I mean, I like him in Working Girl. And that's what makes Working Girl so good is because they do the bit where he's
is there
so. where they make him, like, so sexy, even though maybe he's, like, not whatever.
Yeah,
but they do the gag where he's, like, they're all look, all the girls. Remember when he's changing?
Yeah,
they'll like that. And that makes it funny because he's goddamn Han Solo and he's in this stupid movie. And that's what any guy would be like, this movie's all right, you know, because, you know, Han Solo. In it,
yeah, the real miss regarding Henry.
Oh, God. We want to see a retarded Han Solo. I want to see retarded Indiana Jones.
What about this? In 19...
trailer and I was like, what is this?
In 1977, I think he also came out with the movie Heroes.
Was he?
With Henry Winkler and Sally Field.
Oh, my God.
Which means that that movie, which I know this because it was, I think it was number 10 at the box office, had the number one television star and the number one and two movie stars because the same year, 1977, Smokey and the Bandit was number two.
Holy
so that movie had everything going for it except the fact that it sucked.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Heroes. I forgot, because I always think
bad
of
movie.
Hero, that really shitty movie with Dustin Hoffman, where he plays the fucking...
Yeah, he was... It was a Vietnam thing, right? Didn't...
No.
Heroes wasn't someone coming back from the...
Oh, Heroes was Vietnam. Yeah, he wanted to start a worm farm.
Henry Winkler.
In a serious role. But then... I remember the credits as a kid, you know, in the movie theater, seeing the trailer, and it looked like it was going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
They fooled us.
Yeah, it's like they fucking cut the trailer where it looked like, hey, it's the Fonz.
They did. And you remember the opening scene. It was him. He missed the bus, and he's just riding on the bus in the glass. He goes, excuse me, while the bus is going, I'm supposed to be on this bus. So it looks like it's going to be hilarious.
Like it's going to be a crazy, and it's wacky,
the
slapstick
opposite
comedy.
It's the first movie of PTSD?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Coming Home.
Yeah, right. Well, I think this
Stern,
before.
Right? Was this before Coming Home?
If Coming Home was 78,
Well, you're right, it was before.
Wasn't a song like Carry On My Wayward Son or Dust in the Wind?
Yeah, Kansas, yeah.
Yeah, Kansas was the song, I remember.
I think that was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really another, the number one song that was around at the time, too.
They had
everything going for them. Except it was
the number one
slice your wrists when you walk out of the theater, depressing.
I've never seen it as a kid. I was 13.
Well, because
I'm just like, Fonzie. The Fonz!
For Ron Howard and the Fonz to kind of break away from that clean image was Night Shift.
Yeah.
When they made
which
that
was amazing.
One. Yeah, I like that movie.
Everybody likes that movie.
Yeah.
Michael Key, that made his career.
This is Break.
What is that series that Henry Winkler is in now?
Oh, Barry. It's great.
Barry.
He's great in that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was nominated. I don't know whether he won. I was really, you know, I'm always going to root for the Fonz for the rest of my life.
It is so difficult, though, for him. Because he, talk about a typecast. Can you think of any other, like Herman Munster, I'd say.
Right.
But like anyone else that was typecast because you were Fonzie, to be able to do anything that people look at and go, all right, so much time has to pass by. And you still go Fonzie.
Yeah.
But he does pull that off in Barry. It's very fucking good.
Yeah, but like you said, it took time.
It took
Adam Sandler
so long.
Helped, you know, putting him
even
in a couple
Herman
of
Munster,
movies.
Even Herman Munster. Came out, which I won't even say Fred Gwynn. I still call him Herman Munster.
My cousin Vinny,
he was
great. Cemetery, right.
Pet Cemetery.
But that was 30 years later.
30 fucking years he was Herman fucking Munster.
Yeah,
they were still
throwing,
that was the 80s though with Pet Cemetery. They were still putting him in the horror role.
Good point. Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, that Pet Cemetery kind of helped him to get.
He was an amazing actor.
Yeah.
The fucking guy
turns
was
out.
Great in
who
Pet
knew?
Cemetery.
Dude, and he's fucking amazing in My Cousin
Vinny. He's amazing.
And he's so like straight man, funny.
Yeah, and funny. Like, even that part where he goes, Mrs. Riley, and only Mrs. Riley. And he goes, and he's so angry, but when he says, let the record show it too, and he goes, oh, sorry. You know, like, that's good comic acting. And we know he's hilarious because Herman Munster was a genius.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about Henry Winkler. I always had this gag that because, you know, the story is that Gary Marshall wanted Sylvester Stallone or that kind of type.
Yeah.
To play the Fonz. And I think like Henry Winkler's got the greatest agent of all time because he's like, well, I don't have that. But I got a Jewish kid with a winning smile. I think you're really going to like it. Like,
he's short, huge pussy, and afraid of motorcycles.
Yeah, he can't ride.
But he's a great actor. I mean, he really is one of the greatest actors ever.
Yeah.
Because if you have this short Jewish kid playing this awesome Italian that we all thought was the greatest,
anybody our age,
including my dad at the time, I'll never forget when he did that motorcycle jump in that two-parter.
Oh, yeah.
Remember he hit the jukebox and it didn't work? I remember my dad going, he lost his power. He was nervous. Working for guys who were, you know, this is how powerful. Yeah. You can't explain it to people how popular he was.
Huge.
You'll never be able to explain. You could watch it now and kids would be like, I don't understand. What are we talking about here?
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, and I think the stamina, though, to him was that he wasn't that guy. So once he came out as other characters, like even in Night Shift, he's
so
the door.
Yeah.
Like, he got angry. I remember him and Luke, like when they would do, you know, when there wasn't social media and they would do certain things, like Henry Winkler was like, I remember he was in like a television special on magic and he would sit and I remember his hands would always be like this.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, magic is a really fun. And I'm like, what the hell's this guy doing?
What is he doing? That was like also like when James Gandolfini did the PTSD thing. He did a special to help troops with PTSD. And he's like, hi, I'm Tony.
He doesn't have the accent.
Tony Soprano. No, you're not. James Gandolfini. He's like, hi, I'm James Gandolfini. And this is. And it's like, no, where's the accent?
You start, when you see him in all those other movies, though, you realize what a good character actor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, right?
Him in True Romance.
Right.
He's so good. Why don't you spin around for me, Lil?
That one is.
Okay. When he punches her, he goes,
dude, the most...
makes a face like, oh, she fell for that.
The most well-timed, brutal fight scene in cinema because it's with a girl.
Yeah. Yes!
And he's just like, and he opens up his shirt, he's like, go ahead, why don't you...
You got a lot of heart. Got a lot of heart.
And then she just takes the fucking corkscrew and jams it into his foot.
When she hits him with the toilet
lid. All good in that.
Head.
Even Bronson Pinchot is good in that one.
Let
alone the scene with Christopher Walken and...
Dennis
Hopper. Oh my God!
Fucking awesome.
Can I borrow one of those Chesterfields?
Movies got so many great.
When he explains how he just kills you. He's like, now I just see it. Now I do just see the expression on your face.
Yeah,
change.
Yeah.
It's so fucking.
The second
scary
one,
and it's
good. The second one's no treat either. He's but after that, now I just do it to see the expression on their face change.
And then I think about, like, I want to get a girlfriend like that.
Yeah,
like that's. And then if I can't get that, I don't want anything.
Alabama's the best.
That's a tough fucking bill to fill, right there.
She's gorgeous in that. Yeah, too. She's got that good like right amount of snaggle tooth.
That snaggle tooth, so the body's sexy. Great,
which is amazing because her sister is Roseanne Arquette, right? So to be able to. Get better, you know, like that we find her attractive even more so than Roseanne Arquette at that time.
No, that was a perfect time for her because she just went. She went to shit. You ever see her now?
Yeah.
Saw her in.
So she played that woman in the Ben Stiller directed thing.
Oh my God.
I wasn't sure if that was makeup.
Yeah.
You can't believe it's her.
Yeah.
At one time.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 10-minute window that's just fucking beautiful.
Well, and fucking Gary Oldman in. True Romance as the fucking pimp Dexter.
Yeah,
that's
Dexter.
Another,
that's
or Drexel. Drexel. Is it Drexel?
Drexel.
Yeah, Drexel.
Which part was that? I don't
know. Oh my God, he's the best. He's like, now you'd have sat down and eat some of this Chinese food. I thought he was a bad motherfucker, but you didn't even.
That guy, Gary Oldman, is an amazing. He's a chameleon. Like the professional.
Yeah, like that actor.
We got Mr. Charlie Bronson here.
Yeah.
Mr. Charlie Bronson.
Yeah.
Now I remember when you say it.
Oh, when he's fucking in The Professional.
Him.
Where he's like, get me everyone. Get me everyone. Everyone. And
when he's eating that thing and he makes the.
They fucking get the camera up and he puts the thing and he's like, looking into the camera.
And we don't even know what that is, right?
What is it? Like amyl nitrate or
something?
Some kind of popper?
Or Hannibal, where you don't know.
Oh my God.
Until the end of the
movie.
Yeah,
he's all Cardell. Right.
Like, under the hall.
He's awesome.
Let's call it.
That was good because you got the lip.
He did the whole lip. The whole thing.
Let's call it with the respect it deserves $500,000.
He's fucking great. Oldman is.
Yeah, I forgot
awesome.
That's him too. My God.
He's the only guy who's like, you're auditioning for the Black Pimp? All right. And then it's like, all right.
Oh, man. Talking about typecasting, holy fuck. So the other night, I think I might have talked about this briefly. I watched I Love Lucy, which I watch all the time. I love it. And it was the episode where, good.
Nice to meet
you're
you.
Fine.
I tried to hold it.
We have all these liquids
but
here.
Yeah, a lot of liquid.
I had to go before I came in just for such an emergency.
It was the episode where Lucy says to little Ricky and his little friends that Superman is coming to his birthday party. And then Ricky can't get Superman, so she decides to dress like Superman, and she's going to come in through the window. But then Ricky brings Superman over, and she's left out in the rain on a ledge.
Of course, I remember.
And it's George Reeves.
Yeah, they got Superman.
They got Superman. He busts through, and he's like, "Hey, kids! Yeah, here he is. He's rescuing Lucy. She's got a football helmet on."
I so remember this one.
I love Fred Mertz's little birthday hat on the side. I always thought that was hilarious.
Fred Mertz, one of the greatest character actors.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest supporting actors
Bill
on the show.
Bill Frawley.
Like
Great scene. You mean to say that you've been married to her for 15 years?
Yeah, 15 years.
And they call me Superman.
Oh, he went there.
And then it ends. So I'm watching this with my girlfriend, and it ends, and I go, ha, ha, and then he blew his brains out.
He did.
And she goes like, what? I'm like, oh, yeah, Superman, George Reeve, fucking.
Did he shoot it or fly?
That was the rumor that he jumped off a building, but he shot himself in the head. And then I'm like, there's a movie based on it called Hollywoodland.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, with Ben Affleck and Adrian Brody.
Oh, it was later. Okay.
Yeah. And I said, let's watch it. So we actually watched it last night.
Oh.
It should have been called Hollywood Bland. It was the dullest fuck. I'm waiting for anything to happen. It's an old movie. It's not a newer movie.
But why even make a Hollywood
Bland? This is the funniest part, where he has to actually do live appearances for kids. And it's so bad. And by the way, he's drunk as he's doing this.
So this was
the only entertaining part of the movie.
This is more a TV movie than an actual.
The rest of it was this.
Movie.
Well, no, you know why? Because it's not quite a bio about him.
It's not.
It's this because there were rumors that he was murdered.
Oh.
And then who was he murdered by?
Alfalfa?
A mistress or the girl he proposed to or his the movie company. Who's the head? He was fucking the wife or the head of the movie company. Like, so there was all this speculation. And then, of course, the other one was that he just shot himself in the head because he was fucking Superman and couldn't get a role doing anything else.
He had to do the kids' parties.
Yeah. And they ended
up. It's amazing that Adam West got over. That's what we were saying. That took 30 years.
Goes by.
And then we realized he was an absolute genius.
Yeah. Because this guy, you know, he probably could have done something as George Reeve.
Well, then, remember then also towards the end of Super League, he started getting that pot belly. So,
oh, yeah, it just got really bad. He had the pot belly on him.
He must have been, he was good looking. All those kind of guys can usually.
He had a bit part in Gone with the Wind.
Oh, really?
And then he was in, as far as that movie showed, he talked his way. He actually got that mistress girl that was fucking, or the wife of the studio exec, to put in a word for him to get him into From Here to Eternity.
Oh.
But it was after the Superman thing. So they're sitting in a screening with the studio execs and some people, and it starts playing, and he comes up on the screen, and you start hearing, like, titters and Superman. And then the audience starts laughing because it's Superman now in the movie, and that's all they see him as. So you see the studio execs look at each other, and they go, like they're cutting him out of it. So I guess maybe he was in From Here to Eternity, and then he got cut out before it was put out because people just, he was so typecast as Superman. George Reeve, the old.
Oh, yeah,
the way
yeah.
we like Harrison Ford, I felt that way about Christopher Reeve because he was Superman, right? And that movie made so much to me. So I would see everything he was in. Ironically, the exact opposite. I didn't care what he did. I just wanted to see Superman in stuff.
In other stuff.
He was cool.
Street Smarts is a great movie.
Great movie.
He was in some.
Like
he made Superman 4, that piece of shit. get the funding for Street Smart.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Cannon was like,
Morgan Freeman, right?
Yep, he was like, we'll make this movie, but you've got to make this.
What's the other one that was, it's not, like, he was a bad actor, but it didn't matter. Like, I just, you could always see him acting. There's that one, Somewhere in Time, that he does where he's the worst actor ever, but it doesn't matter. He's so bad.
Yeah.
But again, I was just so, but it's Superman. It didn't matter to me. And he has that kissing scene with Michael Caine in Death Trap.
That's right, Death Trap.
Which was very shocking.
He was in Death Trap,
when Superman kisses another dude. That was
that was a big thing when it happened, too.
But it was really good movie.
Anyway, I think, I know he was married, but I don't know. I think it was one of those.
I can't think that. I have to.
Like Travolta gay. Oh,
that's a bummer, too.
But back then.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it makes
married,
Travolta. It makes sense because no man dances like that.
Off the just, at about 93. So.
His life is proof that there is no God, and I'm not even talking about
which one are you talking about? Travolta,
George? Oh. No, Christopher Reeve.
Oh, right. Why?
Sorry. It's so funny. I know.
But it's not even because of him. Like, you would think I was going to say because of him being paralyzed.
Yeah,
he gets paralyzed. His fucking wife stays with him.
Yeah.
Fucking has to push him around to interviews. He's on the respirator, completely paralyzed. He finally dies. She immediately gets terminal lung cancer and dies.
Yeah.
She never smoked a day in her fucking life.
Weird.
That is fucked.
Yeah. He also died of a bed sore. Super.
Is that right?
Eddie?
Yeah, I believe it was a bed sore.
That was the whole, you know, when you play Superman and then you get paralyzed from a horse.
Fucking Bobcat Goldthwait had the funniest joke about that, where he was like, I heard Christopher Reeves broke his leg. He goes, that's the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard. Because even if they came up with a cure for that shit that ails him, he wouldn't be able to walk that day.
Wow, that is really bad.
Dude, that poor bastard, though. Like, he went from Superman to the rest of his life just...
Yeah, in a fucking wheelchair like that. Oh, with a respirator.
In a blow chair.
Other fun news. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. People say we monkey around, but we're too busy dying. That's right. What? Peter Tork of the Monkees dead at age 77.
No.
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
Oh, I just had on my podcast the guy that just did his new album, that produced his...
Oh, no.
Yeah, Adam Schlesinger, do you know him? He's from Fountains of Wayne. And so he produced this amazing Monkees album about 2 years ago. And then last year they did a Christmas album. And it's great. Jesus. But you can tell Peter Tork is sick.
Yeah.
But they used everybody. They used Davy Jones' old stuff.
Oh, okay.
We were just talking about it last month.
So Davy Jones went a few years ago.
Yeah. But the album was great. It was
all taking the last train.
So Mickey Dolenz is the Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesmith, the only ones left. The
that's
last train.
Okay.
Mickey Dolenz, his voice still sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The album is really, really good. And it's done Andy Partridge from XTC and Weezer, Rivers Cuomo. They contributed songs. So
really?
Yeah, they're great.
His wife is singing a song, Now I'm a Bereaver.
That's
she's bereaved. Get it? I'm a bereaver.
You might have thought that was an Asian joke.
An Asian guy singing the actual song.
Yeah.
But there's groovy Peter Tork. Peter Tork was the fun one. Like
he was the cute one. Or,
like Davy Jones was the one all the girls liked. And then the other guy, Mike Nesmith,
He was the serious guy.
Yeah, Davy.
Mickey Dolenz was funny.
He was the fun guy, I thought, because it's weird. You're right. Davy Jones was the one the girls liked, but yet in the Monkees TV series, it was always Peter that had the crushes.
Right,
like,
He was the innocent, kind of dumb guy.
Right.
But even a dummy.
In the Brady Bunch movie, the one they made as a parody, Davy Jones still made an appearance in it as her.
Davy Jones was in.
And then the other three guys were judges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Girl,
look what you've done to me. Me and my whole world. I'm telling you, girl.
you mean the word to me.
And then he makes...
it feels so good.
Thank you, girl, for making the mornings brighter. Girl, for making the sunshine...
Yeah.
I don't know. But in the show, in the TV show, Marcia... like kisses him on the cheek, and he's like, "How about the flip side?"
The flip side, right?
Yeah. Fucking junior high school.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
Plus that guy who's in
the booth.
In the booth, he just has that face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the whole, it's like they keep coming back to him, and he's not smiling.
The engineer,
not doing anything. It's so weird. Yeah,
that's a take, Davey.
Yeah, just the one take.
One take.
And he's like, "We got it."
I don't know. Don't I have to punch in that line? I fucked up something.
We got it.
Nah, we got it. One take, Davey. We call
him. Leona in that Sinatra movie, like,
they're
doing the Ocean's 11. Like, we got it. Like,
got it. Don't worry
the
about
lens
it.
Cap on. We got it. Let's get to the tables.
Thank you, Davey.
Oh, we need another take. No.
I just gotta get Davy Jones to come to my. Oh, you dummy. They were always promising, like, fucking Joe Namath.
Yeah.
They got him.
They were always promising, and then they would show up.
Worked every
time. Wasn't a good lesson for the kids.
That was horrible.
Usually that never happens.
But those were the first ones to actually do that premise, and then everyone stole it.
Right, they
did. So the premise of getting sick and asking the celebrity to come was started by them.
By the Brady Bunch.
And then everyone stole it. Yeah. I remember Different Strokes to get Muhammad Ali to come. They had that, like, "Oh, I'm sick. Boy, this is worse than Joe Louis," whatever.
I can't believe this is worse than, all right. Why don't you just set off some decon fog on bug cleaner?
This is worse than I'm going to be in 15 years from now.
Yeah. Maybe it's from inhaling decon fog on. Yeah. You could get rid of the bugs by fogging your house. But unlike me, make sure you leave the house.
Perhaps
you set off the motherfucker.
Perhaps wear a mask. Turns out something that kills roaches is not good for your system either.
I found out you cannot rope a dope pesticide. It comes right through your gloves, unlike Joe Frazier's right hook.
I cannot give my shaky body a right or a left.
That's it. I was down for the count from Decon Fogon.
Yeah, dude, that guy.
The count is up to the rest of my life.
Yeah. That guy did not die or end up like that because of head punches.
No, that fucking...
All the fucking advertising. All
right, Muhammad, just stay in this room. Everyone runs out in gas masks.
And it has a beautiful scent.
A guy who barely lost a fight.
Muhammad, you're a true professional staying in that room like
he's
that.
He's got his face in the decon fog on like fucking Spock in that radiation thing in the He's all fucking... Ha, ha, ha.
Can you imagine at that time what was in that shit?
Oh, my God. Oh, DDT. Right? The shit that's in that weed killer now.
Remember they used to euthanize dogs?
Oh, my God. I can only imagine.
Another take, Mohammed. Set another one off. Why y'all behind that glass in them spacesuits?
Mohammed Ali don't mind about this smoke.
Yeah.
Mohammed... Why don't you? The guys are literally in spacesuits.
10 years later, he's boxing on the Tonight Show to nothing, and they're like, "I don't know. I guess this is
what happened."
Just air punching.
He's fucking shaking like a car on bad gas, but not a bug in his house.
I have not seen a spider in 10 years.
In 10 years,
except for the pretend ones that live in my eyelids.
My hallucinations are far more horrific than any bug would have been.
If there was only a decon to get rid of what I see every day. But there is no cure for what else.
Oh, shit. Pesticides. I read an article, though, that he said what he got could have been attributed to all of the decon that
For real, you guys aren't making...
I swear it was a thing that I read years ago.
How's that even possible?
I read it
really
years
left
ago
them in there.
And was laughing my ass off like I was reading National Lampoon.
When you think about it, who's the most comparable fighter? Tyson, probably?
Yeah,
he's bad shit crazy, but he's not shaking.
No, no.
You know what I mean?
A lot of guys have taken punches to the head.
And they're
stand
not
up a little punchy.
Yeah.
Maybe it takes time.
You heard me punchy.
Maybe
meanwhile, this guy's using Agent Orange to kill
him. Yeah.
Maybe he's going to be upset because his ex-wife. Oh, no, his ex-wife wasn't Lisa Bonet, right?
It was Robin Givens.
Yeah.
I remember I was an extra in a Pepsi commercial once with Mike Tyson, and Lisa Bonet was there with Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, okay.
I remember because she was so hot. She's still hot.
She was amazing.
And I was like, he was going to be angry that she's married to Aquaman. That's what. That's
she
gonna
just wouldn't drink the motherfucking Kool-Aid.
Oh, I'm sure he tried.
Oh, dude, but that's why he fired her from the show.
Every fucking drink.
Dude, that whole barbecue sauce episode was real Spanish.
He's fucking 3-pointing sleeping pills into her fucking drink. I'm certain of it. She probably was like, told, don't touch anything.
She invented the napkin so they'd bounce off.
Yeah, yeah. Don't touch anything he puts fucking any fucking thing in.
Please.
Please don't fuck.
Oh, that's so messed
the
up.
Guys. Well, he's having a good time in prison. Yeah, I don't know how we.
Oh, I hope the head of the Aryan Brotherhood read what an amazing time Bill Cosby's having in prison.
Yeah,
I hope somebody amazing fucking time. Read that and just.
Yeah. Oh, so you having fun, motherfucker?
Oh, you having a good time, Mr. Jello?
Yeah, you like
that? I don't appreciate
Mr.
that
rapist?
Kind of talk.
Yeah.
Please don't work blue when I'm in the cell.
How about How about you do an impression of Mush Mouth with my cock in your face?
I'm going to introduce you to Fat Albert.
Hey, you're going to sound like
Mike. Yeah.
Why are you calling me?
Just how Fat Albert is. Yeah, yeah. Hey, get that out of my ass. I'd like to say the sisters never got to Bill.
They did every night ever since.
I'm
going to
call you Washington's birthday.
It was a good time.
Life isn't like a Cosby episode. Dave Juskow, thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Thank you so
for
much.
Being here.
This
always
like the best.
So guest.
Really? Yeah, thank you. Dude, always, what's more fun than talking about movies and TV?
It's like that's usually what we fucking end up. I love it.
My favorite thing.
It's fucking awesome. Go see Dave, March 26th, Comedy Cellar, the final four show.
Yeah, that's
And the podcast, The Nightly with David Juskow.
Did they forget the F in that, too?
Oh, The Night Fly. I'm sorry. No, they did. That would have been good if they forgot that, but they didn't. That was my own ineptitude. The Night Fly with David Juskow. Available on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And Mr. Landau, I'm certain people want to know where they can catch your performance. Please inform them.
Yes. March 8th, the Governor's Comedy. Fuck, I almost did it. God damn.
I could read it for you.
I could. Yeah, you could. Anybody could read better than me, apparently.
Dave Landau, March 8th at the Governor's Comedy Club at Belmore, New York. Everybody loves Governors.
I'm going to that one.
Governors.com.
Right near my house.
Yeah, I'll go to that one, too.
You should come out.
Yeah, I'd like to see you perform.
Yeah, man, please.
Yeah,
I've been doing that lately. I've been going to see people I like do hours. Like at the Cellar, I went to see Lenny Marcus and Mateo.
Yeah,
They helped me, and they're in my show, so I went to go see them.
Please
just
come
do
out.
An hour.
Yeah.
Because we never get to see anybody do like a full set usually.
Oh, they're full fucking set.
It's always 10 minutes here and there.
Atlantic City.
Well, then March 9th, Atlantic City. This is Stand Up for Autism.
Oh, here's
benefit.
The one.
Yeah, Great Bay Country Club, and then
Bananas.
There we go.
Bananas. Oh yeah,
Hasbro Heights. I love that place.
Yeah, March 15th, 16th. Yeah, I'm happy because Helium's. I guess they took it over.
Oh, is that right? The guy from Philadelphia.
Oh,
that's cool. Oh, you know who I'm having on my podcast in 2 weeks? The director of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Amy Heckerling.
I'm really excited
about it. Yeah.
Also,
that's
Clueless.
Great.
Yeah, I just saw Clueless the musical. Yeah. She just did it.
Oh my God. Where's Fast Times the musical?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to tell her, hey, listen.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I got you an idea.
I was like thinking about just doing
it. Hey, Rat, did you get that out of the hamper? We came over to help you with your math homework on such a hot day.
You got any iced tea? I mean,
hey, this is great iced tea.
Driving you to an abortion. We're going to get rid of that kid.
My brother got his girl one once. Abortion.
Shit, I wish we had more time.
I know, right?
I got to catch a train.
Into a good one.
Oh, motherfucker. Again, thanks so much,
thank
man.
So
we
much.
We love having you on.
Coming.
Dave, have a great weekend.
You too,
I will
friend.
See you on the day of the moon, Monday. And don't forget, right here in this time slot tomorrow, 2-drink minimum with those lovely drunks from Canada, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, 8 p.m., Trump right here, of course, Pat Dixon, and Nightshade with Michael Malice at 11 p.m., 8 p.m. Pacific time. Have a great weekend. I know you still have a Friday to contend with. Our weekend starts right now. But until Monday, have a great one, and we'll see you then. Auf Wiedersehen.